All right, so we're through at least a dozen beers, if not more. I got myself a bottle of bourbon. So wow. We are here to prove that you can podcast while you're drunk, which means it's time for another episode of...
You can still podcast while you're drunk.
That's the one.
Just which means Jet Jockey in action.
It's time for an episode of Macross Speaker Podcast, which is now kind of the semi-official podcast of Macross World. I'm not sure of the exact ramifications of that.
No, but wait a minute. We are the official Macross World podcast of the unofficial Macross universe.
Yes.
Okay. That clears up.
Exactly.
But is this podcast canon?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
It is.
Oh, no, I'm movie version. I don't know about you guys.
No.
Dude, you got no color.
Everything I say is canon.
Okay.
Unless they make a pachinko game of you.
No, they won't.
They'll draw you with a captain's hat and in a nurse outfit. Anyway,
yes.
Next year we will release a Macross Podcast Chronicle and we'll rewrite everything. So
right, excellent. And we'll redo every episode.
But we'll harmonize everything, so it's okay.
And we'll miss pages here and there.
Yes, great. In CG.
And we'll make sure it's only available in Arizona.
Yes.
That's going too old school.
Ouch.
All right. Now, where were we? Yes, this is Gwyn Gamble, torturer on the boards, because people seem to forget who we are. And with me on the left is...
Ben. All right. My name's Renato. I am Renato on the boards.
That's... Wow.
That's easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Adrian, and I'm also known as Save, formerly known as Save Robotech in the heyday of my Macross World experience.
That's very brave of you to say. I'm Richard. I'm Goobaba on the forums.
And today we've got kind of a guest or someone dropped by. We've got Howard. Howard, how are you?
I'm Howard, and I'm Barrio Buru Fighter on the Macross World forums.
Really? I didn't know that.
Hmm. Say it again with oomph.
Barrio Buru Fighter.
Okay. Right. So, Howard, I'm going to keep this brief, but whenever someone drops by to be on the cast, we ask them to give us, briefly, their history with Macross. Their first experience with Macross, and the effect it's had on them, or things they've done, you know.
Well, I was born and raised in Hawaii, so I had the advantage of being able to watch Macross on TV. Relatives would send videotapes, and I could watch all the various shows that were actually airing at the time. Hmm. You could go to video stores and watch it. Okay. And that's how I got into anime in general. And it wasn't really a big deal. I wasn't really big into it then because I could just turn on the TV and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until I left Hawaii and went to like Arizona, California, Florida, that I found, hey, this stuff is actually rare. And then I started getting more into anime fan clubs, translating for early fan subgroups, and then eventually getting to Macross World, and that's how I met you guys.
And at the moment, you are based in Japan?
Yes.
And how long have you been?
I've been to Japan almost 10 years now.
Man's almost in double digits.
So I have to ask, were the videotapes like the same as the ones that I watched in Los Angeles, where it'd be like...
They're the exact same tape he just sent them to.
Right. Probably.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
just
be
like
surprised.
The stores in Los Angeles where they just had just a regular blank tape with a label with a hand-drawn...
But it would be like one episode of Macross, one episode of Tobikage.
Right, that one week's
one episode of Doraemon.
Right.
Okay.
So you wouldn't just have a Macross tape.
Right. So I watched the first episode of Zeta Gundam that way, but I didn't realize that it was the first episode of Zeta Gundam.
So did those tapes come, you know, complete with the TV commercials?
And yes.
Whatnot? Yes. That was one of the best things about them.
Yeah.
You know. But okay, well, thanks for that. So yeah, we're all here because, it's the 30th anniversary. It's upon us. There's been a lot going on, and we thought we'd get together. As always, I like to get people in the same room and chat about these things, not do it via Skype or anything like that. But before we get into the 30th anniversary events, that little segment we started from the last episode, which is what have you been watching? Just give people insight what we've been watching that's not Macross. So if anyone's just here for the Macross, well, come back in 20, 30 minutes. By that time, Renato should be done. Renato, what have you been watching?
I've been watching Lupin the Third, Mune Muneko
to you online.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's what we call it. Nicely played.
So,
thank you.
I've also been watching Uchiyo Kyōdai, which is Space Brothers. Yeah, it's really cool. And Nadia, Secret of Blue Water. Again, because they're repeating it now because they're advertising the new Blu-ray
box set,
which is very nice. Yeah.
So let's back up a bit. Lupin, who else is here has been watching Lupin? I've watched like two or three. Adrian, you've watched one.
I've seen just the first couple of episodes.
Okay, Richard, you've
been
watching
it at all.
Okay. So what do you think of it?
Well, we're almost halfway through now, and it's starting to get weird. Because
not episodic weird. Like, I don't know, people complain to me that it's episodic. But.
There's an arc.
Okay.
They're introducing this this backstory, which is brand new for Fujiko.
Okay.
And I don't know how much I should give away, so I should just really end it just here.
Is that the one with the owl men?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, it does get really, really weird.
I thought you just watched the first couple of episodes?
I've watched the first couple, but I've seen some of the images online for the owl.
Right.
So does she keep her shirt on in the flashbacks in the origin?
Some flashbacks, but not all.
Okay, so it's the same show as the first couple of episodes.
It is the same show, very much, yeah. Well, anyway, what drew me to this show was not only am I a Lupin fan...
Right.
it looks very hand-drawn. You know, there's a lot
shaded
of...
Shaded, maybe.
No. Adrian's shaking his head. What?
I wouldn't use the term hand-drawn to describe it either, but... It's got a pencil aesthetic to it, I'll give it that much.
Yeah. Usually you use pencils with your hand. I don't know how you draw.
With my feet. I'm just like the... I'm like a hacker in the Blood Sea movie who types with their feet, but I'll get to that later. Adrian, why are you shaking your head?
You don't have to hurry.
Oh, it's just one of those things where people see something like the Boondocks, and they say, oh, it's an American anime trying to look Japanese.
Well, it's animated in Japan, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but it's like American characters looking Japanese, that kind of American production type thing.
Okay.
Right? So you know what I'm saying? I haven't seen Tron, nor will I probably ever see it. But my point...
Adrian's eyeballs. Where are they gone? I have to...
That's a good... Tron is good. Anyway, we'll get to it.
I'm watching Tron too. That's pretty good.
Anyway.
All right. So there's these shows in America that say whether it's Powerpuff Girls or something like that where they take some type of aesthetic from a Japanese animation and they put it in an American production, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's been the trend maybe the last 12 years. Well, when I watched that first episode that you made me watch, which...
I did. That was I tricked you into watching that.
Yes, you did. You said, well, since you're sitting there, go ahead, I'll just put this on. To me, a lot of the art style in that show mimics the style from... Was it Aeon Flux? The pacing, the actual... Just
the angles,
very,
right?
Very strange angles.
Yeah,
the very crazy licking of the inner ear type kind of shit. And then she's also... It just reminded me of
Aeon
Flux.
I need to re-watch Aeon Flux, but yeah.
Not that Aeon Flux is bad. I actually really liked it when it was on Liquid Television. But that's what it reminded me of, opposed to it being hand-drawn.
But that seems to be two separate things. Like, that's kind of the camera angles versus the art style? No?
Yeah, I mean, the content versus actual art style is...
It's more the art style, to me.
But I know they do have that kind of pencil shading look on the shadows, for example.
Yeah.
And on especially on her breasts when they're out all the time in the show.
Right.
But overall, I mean, are you liking it? I mean...
I'm enjoying it. I don't know. I want to see how it turns out. It's not the best Lupin I've ever seen.
What is the best Lupin you've ever seen?
Cagliostro.
Oh.
Please take me to the moon.
No way.
Really?
I just watched that.
Really?
Yeah.
He bought it on VHS.
No, I bought Do You Remember Love on VHS.
Well, what's that then?
That's a DVD.
It's
an ex-rental DVD, right?
Yeah. It's a DVD cover.
Case. Look at the size of it.
Yes, I finally watched it the other day.
Maybe it was beaten.
And I was so
satisfying. Well, you watched it for the first time?
Yes, the first time.
It's so green.
It was so...
It's in no way is it bad, okay? Cagliostro.
Okay, so...
But it's certainly not the best.
Nausicaa's red, Laputa's blue.
I would have said that Nausicaa was red and Laputa was blue.
That's what I said.
Miria was red and Max was
blue. Hang on. I would have said that Nausicaa was blue and Lepto was red.
Before we go on a tangent, let's finish the roll call of what we've watched.
All right, well, I don't know. It's hit and miss a lot of the time, content-wise,
mm-hmm.
this show. I don't know. But I'm interested enough to see how it turns out at the end. Space Brothers, on the other hand, is great.
I haven't watched any of it. Has anyone...
I love it. I've heard good and bad from people.
You've got crickets on this side of the microphone. None of us have watched it.
All right. No. If anyone is interested in what JAXA, the Japanese aerospace industry, is doing,
mm-hmm.
check it out. Because it's even though it's set in the near future, it's very much a down-to-earth thing. It's not science fiction by any means. It's actually what JAXA does.
Did you also watch the live-action movie that came out?
No, earlier? I did not.
Okay.
Mainly because Tim Eldred
He said it was all drama, human drama.
It's typically what you would expect from a Japanese movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well... I saw Yamato, so
it's
I guess.
That bad. Whoa!
So I guess.
Ouch!
I also saw that this week as well.
Well, yeah, sell me on Space Brothers before you tell me about Yamato.
Well, it didn't have Kimotaku.
I didn't have Kuroki Meisai this week either.
Space Brothers is something which can almost miraculously relate the mundane and the everyday to outer space engineering and astrophysics and things like that.
Okay.
People in Japan, I'm going to go all sociological again now. People in Japan really don't care that much about where their tax dollars are going, or tax yen, as it were. And some of the lessons that I teach at university are to do with, as Richard probably knows...
Astrophysics.
To do with astrophysics. Yes. But from the letters point of view, not from the science point of view. Mm-hmm. Right, because I think that social tendencies are really very much affected by advances in modern technology, right? And people just really don't think about what new advances might bring out new changes in society. And this show is almost like a stepping stone for that.
Okay.
It can allow you to think about things in the broader scope.
It's like
what I was saying with Lagrange
mm-hmm.
last time in the last podcast we did. Whatever you may think about the content of the show or how it's animated or whatever, it's almost like the opposite of what I was just saying with Lupin. Okay, I like Lupin for the way it looks. I like this show not for the way it looks, but for what it represents to society. And it's not an otaku-oriented anime.
Okay.
It's shown at 7:30 a.m. on a weekday. So it's right up there
questions me, who's marketed that? Who's watching this?
Well, like people who usually watch anime at that time. So, like, they're watching...
It's educational programming.
No. Toriko or One Piece or things like that, you know?
Yeah, but it's going to be in that...
For kids.
Yeah, but it's in that... It's the anime brain development stage type stuff.
Right. And that's good, because we need kids to be stimulated by things. We need them to be hopeful about things in this modern age. So I say go for it. I have friends who are otaku who hate this show.
Because?
I just think maybe it's not otaku enough, right? It
doesn't are these pander Japanese to these, fans?
There's Japanese fans, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't hit the type those of people sweet, pandrific spots.
Right. The type of people who watch Cross Frontier, dare I say it, are probably not going to like...
I have
this.
Drunk.
This is the third ouch I'm giving you.
I need to drink more.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
So it...
I would suggest you check out the first few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for everyone listening to this.
Okay. And then... We're going to hear about your Yamato impressions.
My Yamato impressions?
Yeah, well, from the live action.
Of the movie? Okay, alright.
Both, either one.
So, Kimura Takuya of SMAP fame.
Now, hang on, you finally got around to seeing
this. Is the best thing about the movie.
Because it was on TV.
Wait, no.
It was on TV about half a year ago.
Is the best thing about that movie.
No, I mean, look, Kimura Takuya's hair was drawn by Matsumoto himself just for that movie. I mean, it was amazing.
He's not that bad in the movie, I have to say.
No, I mean, he overacts, which is what you want from an anime movie.
He doesn't really overact that much. A lot of the other characters overact.
Yeah.
No. The Space Marine overacts way more.
Oh, yes, it's true.
Yeah.
I am sure.
Yeah. Was it Sato or Saito or something?
Saito.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, I mean, what do you think of it since you finally saw it?
Yeah, it was fine. At the beginning, the first 10, 15 minutes, I was like, everyone's hammy acting. This is, you know, it's kind of what I expect from a Japanese movie, but it, but still, how am I going to get through this is all I was thinking.
Knowing that it was like 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
It was like 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours, right.
It was worth it for that Aerosmith song, right?
Just they cut it out.
Really?
Well, because they don't have time for the credits.
So they cut Steve Tyler out?
It was the first 30 seconds, and then it was like, next week, some other movie.
Next week, Bruce Willis and an asteroid, yeah.
and the same song.
All right.
yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's what it is, I guess, right? All right.
And then, of course, we just watched Yamato 2199, because I made everyone watch it.
Yeah. You literally made us watch it.
Literally made us.
I came prepared. I was going to talk about Fujiko. I was going to talk about...
and I was trying to get Renato to read Macross the First, and...
Well, I mean, look, you can read porn somewhere else, okay? I'm interested in hearing people's impressions of 2199, because I know it's a series I've been championing on the boards, but...
It certainly is an animated show.
Terrific. Feel free to jump in, anyone who wants to give impressions.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty true to the original. They made some changes. One of the changes in particular I really did not like.
Uh-huh.
Which one?
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
For the first
jump
episode.
Ahead 60 seconds if you don't want to be spoiled. The Yamato that you see crusted over on the ocean bed is not the actual Yamato. The actual Yamato is underneath, and
that reminds me of Robotech.
The spaceship,
SDF-2,
right? The spaceship Yamato is not the battleship Yamato. Now, as much as I am really uncomfortable with the right-wing implications of Yamato, that change did not sit well with me.
So I enjoyed it because I thought it was a much more realistic take. They used it to
mask the
metallic signature of the ship they were building within and underneath it. I mean, it was literally like a crusty shell. Mm. Right?
But I don't see how that can be realistic, because why would you have a boat in space?
That's right. It's a spaceship shaped like a boat.
Yes.
I know.
The original Yamato, it was an actual flying boat.
That's why that one would make sense. That's why that would be more realistic. Don't you see?
So, please, explain to us how Galaxy Express 3.9 would be realistic.
There's force fields around it, so you can open the windows. This
has
been
Yamato has a force field, too, now.
It does.
Yes, it does. And that was okay. I was okay with that.
But, I mean, yeah. My only gripe with the series was the speed at which the ships move. But apart from that, so what we watched was the first Blu-ray. So that's episodes one and two. And the second chapter, theatrically, which is episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6, drops 2 weeks from now.
Nine is the human interest one.
So far we said some things we don't like, but what I really, 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 really like is the designs for the spaceships.
Yes. They were awesome.
Both faithful to the original and improved.
Yeah.
It's possible to improve them without being...
destroying what made them great.
Without redesigning the head.
Right.
Tangent would disagree.
Yeah. All right. Adrian, did you have any words on it, or...?
Nurse with big breasts.
That was good, too. Yes. That was good, too.
Yep. More female characters.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in the original, they always showed more female crew members boarding the ship, but then there's only one on the ship for the whole show. Right. So,
hey, Evan, why don't you talk about what you were talking about in there, about how this should be for a more mainstream audience instead of just for the otaku?
Oh, yeah.
Because that would totally negate what you just said just now about the big-breasted nurse.
I was talking about for me, but I was just like, that's what makes it good for me.
Well, I'm glad you can look at things objectively.
See, there you go. No, I would just say, watching that show and not having a history with Yamato or Star Blazers or any specific space animation or film, just somebody turning the channel going, oh, this looks interesting because of the redesign, because of the quality of the animation. I think anybody that is just changing the channel would actually stop and watch that show.
Hmm. And probably the same with the live action movie.
No. They would stop, watch it, and go, oh, this is dubbed. No, forget it. Seriously, who has hair like that? And then they change the channel.
They've never been to Japan. But, well, that didn't even get a license for distribution in the US.
I know,
isn't
it? Yeah.
Like, does that surprise you? Really? Seriously?
Because Russia and Australia both licensed it and brought out official
versions. And that surprises.
But the US is a much bigger market. If they think it's financially viable to bring it out in Australia, or
other countries are spending money. There's companies in the States aren't spending money.
I thought it was something to do with licenses. I'm not clear on the Star Blazers thing.
That's the cover. Oh, no, it's not a license.
It's not that?
No, just no one's interested.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's a shame.
It's a one-off thing. Why are they going to put money in a one-off? Yeah.
Mm.
My girlfriend was interested in seeing it. We watched half of the movie, and then she demanded that we stop.
The live-action one?
The live-action.
She's not a SMAP fan.
No, she's not.
She's got taste.
She might have taste, yes.
She might have taste. Was she like, hey, say jump or something?
No. She's...
That pump.
We've been watching... Okay, let me get to this later. Let me get to this later.
So, Renato, is that... That's basically what you've been watching?
Yes, please.
Okay. Adrian.
You what? Son of a bitch. Give me that.
No, I want my sound drops.
Okay,
Adrian's coming.
I've been really...
What's that? Go.
Media-sama, 苦情のメールが...
Fucking hate Gundam. God damn it, I hate Gundam. I've been extremely busy the last few months, so I haven't watched a lot of stuff. I've caught bits of stuff here and there. Gwyn made me watch 21-9... No, actually, he didn't make me watch it. I saw it in the theater.
Yes.
Actually, I paid to see that, which was good in the theater. Mm-hmm. But he did make me watch AKB-0048.
Great show.
But hey, you were the one singing the song while waiting to meet Kawamori.
Okay, wait. Can I?
So, after a hard day's work, Gwyn came and put it on and made me watch this show because he wanted me to see the first 10 minutes.
No, because otherwise you'd never watch anything that was made in the last 2 decades.
That is not true.
Adrian's the Macross 2 fan, let me just say that.
Okay, 90s.
Oh, God. Anyways, so I watched the first 10 minutes, I watched the whole thing, and yes, there's a bunch of Macross, like, homage scenes.
Really?
Yes, in the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
There's nothing but...
Yeah.
You know, okay, Itano Circus. Well, you know, just think it. Ronka Star is the name of the planet. All this stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't care. I was like, okay, let's get to the story. I don't need the homages. I know Kawamori's behind it. I would eventually watch it at some point. So, there's nothing great about this anime. Whether you love AKB, whether you hate AKB, whether you don't like, you know, idol groups, whether you're watching the most current anime shows, it offers nothing to nobody. I don't even think the AKB fans will like it because it's not even voiced by the AKB idols.
Not entirely.
Some of them are. Okay. Some of them are.
It's 50-50.
Okay. But
not any of them popular ones.
All right.
No, the popular ones do the minor characters.
So.
Because they have at least two people in this room that are just highly ecstatically entertained by this.
Yeah.
God knows why.
So did you say two?
Two.
I enjoyed it.
Who's the other hilarious. One? Who's the other one?
Right there.
Yeah,
wait, no, he's one. Who's the other one?
Me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyway,
one plus one.
Equals two.
Anyway, you're saying?
I got
so, as far as just somebody that wants to watch a new show that's coming on, it had nothing of interest. I was just like, I've seen this all before. And it wasn't the thing of, oh, they're just the anime tropes and all that. It was just, the pacing was slow. Everything about it was just, I don't care. I don't, nothing. I just wanted it to end. And when it ended, he did me the favor of putting Kids on a Slope, which just repeated the process all over again.
Okay, it's a double header. Okay.
Oh my god.
This is a double header. Okay.
Oh, you pissed off Renato with that one.
Oh, hang on.
Well, we've already talked about this.
No.
Offline.
Let me know. So, hang on. Are you done with the AKB48 stuff?
The AKB is done and over with.
Okay, so. Kids on the Slope.
Kids on the Slope was just not really interesting at all. I mean, it barely had my attention at times. I was sitting in front of here. I mean, I was sitting in front of the monitor, practically strapped to my chair, made to watch this thing. And I was just trying to think of not thinking of something else I had to do. And great.
Clockwork Orange.
A bunch. Exactly. And it was great. A bunch of school kids. A new kid in school. Oh, and he's going to have some problems with the bully that sits behind him. And instead, it turns into this big bromance. Because I don't want to call it BL because Renato will not see that it is. And it's this big...
Why would I be more accepting of bromance?
Because that would be more masculine for you. I thought I'd call it bromance.
Thanks.
But it's a total BL show, but it's very average, even at that. Because it's just the typical, hey, we're in school, we're playing instruments. And it's about jazz, and it's about... And the bully goes and, spoiler, whatever, sticks up for the other kid for his money. Or I forgot what it was. See, I already forgot half the story. And in the end, it's just, who cares? Who cares? That's all I walked away thinking.
Well, you only said half of your signature line.
I care.
Who cares?
I end up.
Thank you. All right, now tell me.
I care, and so does my wife.
Okay,
it's the only anime we watch together.
Your wife cares about Aya Endo?
No.
Everyone cares about Aya Endo.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Anyway.
So, my wife and I watch Kids on the Slope and Maison Ikkoku, because that's on reruns as well.
Well, talk about a gap in generations, but okay.
Yeah, but it's basically the same.
I don't know which of you has offended me more so far today. Go ahead.
No, that's it. We've had this conversation.
Kids on the Slope.
I'm not going to really call it...
It's Maison Ikkoku, Renato.
What? It is the same. It's just you want to know how this turns out.
Yes, but at least Maison Ikkoku is hand drawn. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, they didn't have rotoscope technology back then, did they?
Yeah,
they did.
And Maya Sakamoto wasn't in it.
She's not in this either. I mean,
that's Yoko Kanno, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
I've only watched like the first two episodes of Kids in the Slope. I mean, I really enjoyed it because in the first episode alone, I mean, I hate school dramas.
Me too.
Normally something set in the school, I get turned off. When they announced at the 25th anniversary event that you went to, Adrian, which I didn't get to, for Macross, where they said, here's what we're doing for the new Macross. Oh, and there's a high school setting. I was like, oh, this is going to be the first time I'm completely biased against a Macross show before it starts. Because a school setting, I'm like, no, I'm done with it.
That's what I felt.
But they hardly ever... went into that setting in the show. Well, it was
no. The one did. Time they did was the best episode of the entire run.
So how can you hate this show?
Episode 8.
So why do you hate Kids on the Slope?
Wait. Let me finish here. I mean, it was important, but it wasn't the defining factor of the plot. It wasn't a school drama first and foremost. It was a drama, but it wasn't a high school drama first and foremost.
Okay.
I'm gonna even go against the whole. And, it was a drama,
and yet Kids on the Slope made me give a crap about these characters and. You know, granted, having the high school being set, you know, what, in the 60s kind of removes a little bit from all the modern tropes to an extent,
Right, it does.
You don't have, you know, most of the character archetypes that you used to in these shows.
This guy, man.
But, no, I enjoyed what
really
it was.
We should really record this, like, visually, because...
No, we'll have to zoom up on Adrian's face.
See,
that's
think
all.
We should record this historically, because historically Renato is the Scrooge. And yet now Adrian's being the Scrooge.
What's funny is...
Adrian's always a Scrooge. Isn't it? You can never hear him being a Scrooge.
It's in my
eyes. You have
eyes.
To see him.
I honestly had no idea this show was based in the 60s because Japanese schools still look like they're from the 60s. So I thought it was present day anime, actually.
No.
I work in Japanese schools. I can attest that that's true.
No, look, they're bringing in a lot of like student uprisings and things. Yeah. Things from the actual time period now.
Plus, you know, the cars and well, the uniforms were different enough to know that there's
and
a time difference.
They're listening to vinyl LPs.
Yeah.
Right. Listening to vinyl. They're talking about the Beatles. Like, there's a battle now between this guy who wants to be famous because he's a Beatles fan, so he wants to make the Japanese version of the Beatles, and then the main characters
and
are
he,
all about
and,
jazz.
And his name is Johnny, and he started Johnny's Gym Show, right?
And we live in Japan, and they play the Beatles all the fucking time, so how the fuck was I supposed to know the difference?
No, they play the Carpenters all the time.
Yeah. No,
you don't watch TV, remember?
No, unless you go to the bookstore in Kijijoji where Renato met Katsuhiro Otomo, that bookstore, they play Beatles all the time.
He accosted Otomo.
Oh, were you the guy that had to remove from his leg or something?
Anyways, I'm done. I haven't watched anything else because I've been too busy. So, Richard. Right. Or no.
Jeez, thanks for that.
I'm sorry.
I'll take over.
I'll be quick. So yeah, all of the above here. AKB I enjoyed because I like it when there was action in it. It takes the stereotypes over to the point where it's so over the top. I just find it interesting as entertainment. Plus, in the first episode, you had electric shock magical girl wands, which is just like, yes. When do they bring out the home version for the kids? Because I want one. But yeah, Kids on the Slope, I'm enjoying it. Lupin, I'm not up to date on it, but I'm enjoying it. I've went through and watched all of Le Chevalier d'Eon, which in Japan was just called Le Chevalier, which is a production IG show from about 2006, based during the French Revolution, and it's based on a historical figure, but like half of the figures in it are historical and half are made up, and the interweaving between pseudo-historical events and the fiction is just really well done. And there's some gorgeous animation in it, and I really want a figure of the main female character, who is technically dead from the first episode, but appears a lot for a dead girl. But no, good show. I picked it up on the cheap, as I do for a lot of box sets, but I kind of wish it had a Blu-ray, because the animation is gorgeous, but it's just that period, early to mid-2000s, where a lot of the series, even though they were done in HD, they just missed the introduction of Blu-ray, and there's not enough. They're too niche for them to go back and make a box set or anything like that. Apart from that, I've been doing a lot of theatrical anime. I rewatched the entire TV series of Blood Sea and then went and saw the theatrical movie Blood Sea The Last Dark, which came out last weekend. And I'm a Blood fan. I like the original Blood. I didn't mind Blood Plus, although, you know, I prefer the original Blood. When Blood Plus came out, I actually went to a presentation they had at, I think it was Tokyo University, where they had the head of production IG, and Oshima Morikam, and Chiaki Kuriyama was emceeing it.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have loved to.
Yeah, I mean, she was in this.
We have to film this, for God's sake. Adrian is cracking up. He's dying.
You say
laughing.
You say Oshii.
He's turning red.
You see Oshii, and he starts doing Basset Hound impressions, doesn't he? You know, it was a good little presentation they gave about why production was kind of slowed down because Tarantino had come straight to their office door and asked them to do the cutscenes, the animated scenes for Kill Bill.
For Kill Bill, right?
Which messed things up. Which was funny. They were giving Tarantino a lot of shit, and in the foyer, in the lobby, there was actually a bouquet of flowers from Tarantino saying congratulations on Blood Plus.
Oh, that's nice.
And they just got on stage and gave him crap, which was hilarious.
They did that at the Tokyo Anime Fair pre-show in LA.
Oh, really?
1 year. The director from Standalone Complex told a big story about
that guy, Kamiyama.
That was pretty fucking funny.
Okay. But so I rewatched Blood Sea, and I'd watched the first three episodes, I think, originally, and then just like, it's the same thing over and over. I went back and rewatched it and watched all 12 episodes, and it's like, yeah, it builds up well, but the entire TV series is almost trolling. The point of it is to establish a boss for this movie, because it was the original concept was the TV series and the movie. The movie's not a recap, they didn't decide to do it during the series, it was scripted as one thing. So at the end of the series, all you have is the character at where she's going to be when the movie happens. And the boss from the series is not the fit, because he's the boss from the movie. So I went and saw the movie, and I mean, Saya in this show, she's not the kind of happy, sweet, clamp Saya of the TV series. She is the closest to the original OVA Blood Saya that we've had in 10 years.
Love the last one for her.
Yeah. And the problem is just, they don't really know what they want to do with the plot. It's gorgeously animated. The 2D stuff in it is utterly gorgeous. Because they used, was it Tokyo Metropolitan Government money? Or was it
Did they?
They got a grant from like some culture fund to make the movie. Like, there's government money in this movie. Of all the productions they could fund.
My taxian
at work. And anyways, the problem was they didn't really work out how to, after all this, have a satisfactory ending with the boss. And there was some terrible CG in the end. The final boss monster was suddenly CG, with everyone in 2D running up and down it, and it's just completely yanked.
My taxi.
What proving is it? Your whole analogy about the, what's that, anime, space anime, about people's tax money going wherever.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
Where I go? Well, the people don't care? Well, yeah. People don't know.
People don't know.
People don't know. Yeah, no, people don't know is my point.
Yeah. That money should have went to his anime and not Blood Sea.
Yeah.
Should have gone to Yamato 2199, obviously. But the movie was, you know, I was,
no, it should have gone to Yamato 2102.
That's a good point. Oh, yeah. 2202, not 2102. Right.
2102.
I don't know what the hell you got.
Oh, 2202. Yeah. 2202.
Comet Empire. But anyway, so Blood Sea was, you know, it was good. I mean, the it was an unsatisfactory ending, but it was fun to see at the cinema. Apart from that, of all things, I actually went back and started rewatching Tenchi Muyo. The original was a 12 episode OVA. it doesn't work for other episodes. I owned a VHS of the first two episodes when I was a kid, dubbed, and that was as far as I got. And so it was kind of really weird. It's like 15 years later, whatever. Hey, there's an I'm finally seeing episode 3 because I watched those first two episodes so many times. I knew it off by heart. It's like, this is what happens after all that. And, you know, even though it's just like a DVD remaster, there's some details in that. You know, Pioneer, apart from their cookie cutter generic designs for characters, they did some pretty good animation work. What was the animation studio? It was AIC?
AIC.
AIC. Well, maybe they just use AIC for everything. That could be it. But anyway, going back over it, it was...
AIC changed in the 90s as well. Like, they had a different style in the 80s.
Okay. Well, either way, I kind of enjoyed it. I never realized, like, the best part of the plot really all wrapped up in 6 episodes. And then after that, you don't really need it because I'm up to episode 8 now. I'm like, but the plot's finished. But it's been fun going back, you know, bit of a blast from the past, and it looks pretty nice on DVD, even blown up. But anyway, Richard.
First, I just want to say that Renato and I are the only people actually wearing Macross t-shirts today.
And pants.
Pants? I'm wearing my blue Cheryl t-shirt. If you've seen the first Macross Frontier movie, you know what it looks like. And Renato says, SDF Macross, it's a booby trap intended for Zentradi and human being. Which is like, I'm really envious of that shirt.
Is that the launch?
Excuse me.
Yes.
How do you know I am not wearing Macross Frontier underwear?
I do not know that. I only said who is wearing... I said we were the only people wearing Macross t-shirts.
Well, the fact is that since they didn't produce any clan underwear, I had nothing to buy.
So okay.
I think they had nothing.
Okay.
You're still wearing
so please,
underwear.
Big West, produce clan underwear so that Adrian doesn't freeball.
I was so pissed that, you know, everyone's saying how bad that whole thing was that they're designing
the
Macross underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pissed that they didn't make any Die Clan underwear.
Okay.
Seriously pissed.
If they bought Chibi Clan underwear, I'd buy it and make you wear it. On your head.
Anyway, what I've been watching. Not much. I've...
That was a good lead in. How did the t-shirts get... whatever.
I just wanted to say about the t-shirts. I am still watching Mospita with my girlfriend. We broke up for about 2 weeks, but we're back together now. It's okay.
That was mid-season.
It was a mid-season break. We had a mid-season break. We are back. We watched the Mint's birthday episode last week, which she thought was really great. We watched Otaku no Video last night.
Uh-huh.
So I managed to show her Daikon 4 for the first time. Bear in mind, this girl is a professional. in the manga industry.
So you could have just shown her the opening to Densho Otoko.
Well, I showed her Daikon 4, then I showed her the Densho Otoko. Okay.
You're saying she's a manga artist?
She is a manga artist, yes.
Really? I didn't know that.
Her book is going to be published in the fall sometime. I don't know what the title is yet.
Great.
I'll probably mention it on the next podcast. And so last night we watched Otaku no Video, Episode 1. And that's really all I've been watching. Okay. So please.
Howard.
So far I've already mentioned that I was a big fan of AKB-0048.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard to explain the reasons why. But AKB-0048 is one of those things that you can only watch in Japan. It's the kind of thing that would never get produced anywhere else because it is so far into the political incorrect that it would never get green-lighted.
Okay.
A lot of people have this knee-jerk hate reaction to it, but you can never judge something by the first episode. There's a lot of series where they just do a major change around. And for AKB-0048, that first episode is pretty much a just try to grab people in with the Macross Frontierish type opening. But the base plot line where they're encouraging underage girls to run away from home and join this violent guerrilla music group is extremely politically incorrect, and I get a lot of entertainment out of just the wrongness of the show. Because the girls literally are running away from home. Their parents are strongly against them joining AKB-0048. They're being chased by the government, and they are being trained for combat. The first job that the girls get is to be bodyguards. Mm-hmm. They get trained to use AKB-47s. They actually look like AK-47s, but they're sort of... well, I guess it's not too many people are watching it, so it won't be too much of a spoiler. But they're actually paint guns. It's all a training thing to try to traumatize them into dropping out. Mm. And as they're shooting mock AK-47s at each other, you got the trainer at the big... at the top of the hill, just checking up, okay, fail, 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 for all the girls that are just breaking down mentally during this combat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was a... That episode blew everyone's mind on you watching it until it was revealed they were paint guns. Mm-hmm. It's like, girls be dying! These tryouts are getting them killed! I'm like, that would be... That's so ballsy! Oh, it's paint guns.
Right, right. I mean, that sounds really interesting. On a kind of a battle royale kind of level. But I've seen the show, and yeah, you're making it sound more risque than I think it is.
Well, the thing is, at least to my impression, it does get a little more on the serious side. You get more of the plot coming in.
Alright.
The thing is, then it's not battle royale, it's something completely different. Mm-hmm. I give AKB-0048 a lot of originality points. They fake you into... They give you this thing, and it's just a fake-out. Hey, we're actually doing something different. We're not just copying this thing in the past.
Well, I've also mentioned in the past that it was very similar to the basic plot of We Will Rock You, the musical starring Queen. Not starring Queen, but using Queen music.
Right, but that's just on a superficial level. A lot of the details later on vary greatly, and they go off in their own direction.
How far is it up to now?
7, 8?
Yeah, around there.
I do have a question.
Mm-hmm. Has Minigishi appeared yet?
I don't think so.
Ah,
soko kimochii wo!
But one of the key plot lines is the various singers take the names of previous ones. So as the characters take names, you might see Minigishi Mark II or whatever.
Right, because it's the future.
Right, and the one thing that has kind of... And this is... some of it's just the feedback from Macross World, but a lot of people are like, how dare Kawamori be involved with this? What a sellout! Like, he's never sunk to such depths before. I'm like, wait, okay, a plot based entirely on music and idol singers
who are in a spaceship. They have a spaceship. They have flying fighting mecha which shoot rockets. It's like, no, Karamori was the origin of idols in anime. And this is just taking a lot of his concepts to a commercial extreme.
Did anyone watch the election, the AKB 48 election? It was on Wednesday.
For me, it was playing when I dropped by my local soba shop to have dinner. And the girls, you know, waitressing in the shop were getting pumped up. They were giving running commentary.
Should we explain how significant this is for Japanese society?
Well, I mean, I call it the election because more people watch it than would give a crap about a political election.
I guess it exactly. would help to explain.
It's insane.
AKB
004. AKB 48 is based on this AKB 48 group of how many is it?
It's
now?
Over
it's like 100.
Over 100 girls.
Little girls.
More who, than way more than 100 because you've got
Jakarta divisions
now. You've got like about 50 in Tokyo. You've got about 50 in Osaka. You've got about 50 in Nagoya. You've got about 50 in Taiwan. And you've got another 50 in
Singapore?
Jakarta. Oh,
Jakarta, Indonesia.
Yeah. JKT48.
JKT48. It's pretty insane. And every year, they have a general election, which is basically, they take a ballot of... it's a popularity contest.
Having said that, it's a monetized popularity contest.
Right.
Which
the
is the brilliance of it.
The reason for that is that the votes come with the CDs.
The latest right. single.
The it's singles,
like,
right?
What's a single go for? Like 1,000 yen to 1,200 yen?
There are people who buy thousands.
There was
literally
one guy
thousands
who bought
of these copies. 5, of
there
singles.
Was one guy who bought about 5,000 of them last year, and he actually got the lead singer changed for one song. Because the vote is for who will be the lead singer on the next single. And this one guy bought like 5,000 copies and voted for a different girl than who usually wins. The big news now is that the one who has been the lead girl since the beginning is leaving the group.
She's graduating.
She's graduating, yeah. Air quotes around that. Graduating.
Which means
quitting.
Softcore
she's
porn,
quitting.
Basically. But yeah.
Right. So she's quitting. So.
Well, no, she was... Okay, she was already... This is like insider knowledge now.
Really?
She was already scheduled to quit long before this thing. It was
but
all,
the,
it was
the
all
second
pre-ordained.
In command is also scheduled to quit, but now she has to stay longer because
she's
the
like,
lead girl's quitting.
She's like in her early 20s now, right? She's like 21, 22.
Something like that,
which
yeah.
is old by AKB standards.
But I think the lead girl now, if I understand the votes correctly, the lead girl now is like 25, 26.
Okay.
Okay, but let's think about the implications of this for a second, right?
Okay.
First of all, in terms of what we think about when we consider voting and elections... Usually it's one vote per person, right?
Right.
But this is basically, if you have money to spend on CDs, then you can have as many votes as you want.
So it's just like the US system.
It's not a democracy at all. Right? It is like it's a super PAC, basically.
Okay.
I'm glad that we're not the official podcast of Macross World because we can't talk about politics, but it's a super PAC, essentially.
Okay.
Right? It's pretty insane. Secondly... I forgot myself.
You get all riled up. Well, can I go off on a slight tangent?
Go ahead.
Here? And there's, I mean, I told a friend to try the first episode of the anime, and he came back to me, his friend in Australia, and he said, wow, that was just kind of really commercialized. It seemed like, you know, the whole point of it was to get people pumped for their fake band. And I'm like, what are you talking about, fake band? You realize AKB48's real? And he's like, no, I had no idea. And I'm like, to me, I mean, this is the thing. People I talk to outside Japan are like, well, you know about AKB48. You must like my... I'm like, no, actually, I don't listen to their music apart from what I hear on the odd commercial.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But for someone living in Japan, it's like saying you've never heard of Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
You know, they are everywhere. They're promoting everything. I mean, my local kimono shop...
They really don't need
has
to make
them,
money off of their CD sales.
It has them modeling kimonos and stuff. They're everywhere. And now they're getting money from the government, aren't they? They're getting some kind of... Was it a grant?
they announced the other day.
I just want to say that for anyone listening to this who doesn't know about Japanese pop, Memorial Clover Z, way better than AKB48. Just putting that out there.
But no one is buying these singles for the music. That was my second point, right? Which links into what you just said.
Right.
No one. I mean, you can hear these songs on any commercial from like soda to underwear to whatever.
Right.
Okay. These singles come out and people buy them only for the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they promptly sell them to the secondhand market, which are huge. There are more secondhand shops now than there are firsthand shops. I'm not basing this on actual data, but I can go out.
You went and counted them all, right?
No, okay. But you go to Book Off, one of these secondhand shops, and they are just lined up.
Yeah,
with
like
100 AKB
yen
singles
each now. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Hell, you were going to say something?
Yes.
Yeah, also another reason people buy the singles is to get a chance to shake hands with.
Right, that's the other thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I know when they announced the AKB 48 anime, a lot of people on the Macross World forums were like, well, I'm sure they'll slip some direct Macross things. This could be linked into Macross.
Do you guys
realize how niche Macross is compared to AKB 48? Like, this is just such a complete different level of culture.
No, the way I
Please
compare
don't
it to is like if Joss Whedon was writing like the script for like a Lady Gaga movie, and Joss Whedon, being Joss Whedon, decided to throw in a Firefly reference into it, and everyone was like, "Oh wow, it's a new Firefly movie." No, it's a Lady Gaga movie, and it's got a Firefly reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Adrian's being pretty quiet.
Well, like me, when I was watching the election at the Sorba shop, they got to number 8, and Itano got number 8. I'm like, I'm done. Itano's in the day.
No,
I'm done.
No. Itano Tomomi, she's pretty hot. She's my favorite.
And she, what's hilarious about her is that she gets picked for all the more mainstream advertising campaigns
she does.
She looks the most like a comparatively mature female compared to the rest of the group. And therefore has more mainstream appeal, advertising-wise.
But she's got screwed-up teeth.
But
I think the one with the weird nose has...
That narrows it down.
The one with the short hair?
That narrows it down.
Round eyes?
Okay, so there's the one with the teeth, and there's the one with the big ears. That's basically all I know.
We're talking about more than 200 women here, by the way.
Yes. But my point is that she never gets voted as one of the top... You know, for the next single, because by the kind of pandering otaku standards of the people who buy 5,000 CDs, she doesn't look cute or young or innocent enough.
It's like,
and yet she's done solo stuff.
They also conspire, like on Twitter and on BBS boards, like to get one of the underdogs out near the top.
Okay. All right. Look, let's take a break and come back. And actually, I think we're supposed to talk about Macross. So let's come
Macross.
Back.
Macross.
Let's go get a refill, and we'll be right back after this. It doesn't stop.
So 30th anniversary events.
Oh yeah.
At the top.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's what we're supposed to be talking about. But I have a refill. Richard, you have a refill. So
I have a refill.
So let's do this. Where do we want to start? The Parco exhibit technically started first.
Yes.
And that's in Shibuya. And the Parco exhibit. It's not too far from the station. It's in a little. It was in Parco's technically a department store, right?
Yes, it's a major department store.
And this was a little exhibition up on, like, was it the 6th, 7th? No. What floor was it?
Third floor.
Third floor. 7th was, like, the signing, which we'll get to later.
But it's actually a museum. I mean, that one area, it's, right. like, well, always that, showing some
they
kind
always,
of
some exhibition.
They, I mean, yeah. they did a Gundam plastic model exhibition there as well.
No, that was the other floor. That was the floor that has the Noidamina. So
oh, really? Oh, but it's in the same building. Six. It's a floor above it.
Yeah.
A few floors
yeah,
above. Okay.
The
well, they have these spaces where they do things like this,
yeah.
Is I suppose, the point. And so who went? You went there first, Adrian. You went and got there early.
Okay. If you went there the first day at opening, they gave away, and you bought something of 3,000
yen or more.
Or more, you would get a Mikimoto signing ticket.
Wow.
And I have had my share of Mikimoto signing tickets. So, Gwyn hasn't. So.
And I was working because it opened on a Thursday.
So, yes.
Yeah.
It opened on a Thursday. So I went there to get Gwyn's ticket and to look around.
And to buy stock.
So, and to buy stock because we sold the Minmay doll. So, and oh, God.
Which reminds me, you still haven't sent me those photos.
Oh, I gotta do that. Shit. I've been busy.
Okay.
Anyways.
Okay.
No, of him. No, of him.
Ah, 疲れたわ.
Fucking groping Nanase?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's all, we'll get to that.
Okay.
At the relevant
Nanase.
Point.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Spoiler alert. I groped Nanase.
That's right.
Spoiler for what?
All right.
Spoiler for my wife.
So, I got there, and the day before, I actually sent you a message, Richard.
Yeah.
Gubaba. I sent Renato a message to see if he's going. Renato showed up. You never did.
I didn't. I was drunk the night before, and I slept in.
No excuse. You should never...
Oh, don't talk to me about sleeping in. We're going to talk about sleeping in momentarily. Get back to the goddamn story.
All right. So, yeah, got there. There was a line. As soon as it opened up, opened at 10 a.m., I think. Whatever. Yeah, it opened like 10 a.m. Get there, there's a line. The tickets did not sell out. And Gwyn was able to get his ticket.
Woohoo!
And it was a very, very interesting exhibit.
Right.
And very well, like, the concept was really nice. It was actually, mm-hmm. when you went into the event, it was supposed to be as if you were boarding the Mega Road.
Yeah.
And you actually, in your... The event ticket was your boarding pass for the Mega Road launch.
That's correct.
Captain Misa Hayase. Okay.
Yes.
And who also...
U.S. Spacey.
U.S. Spacey.
Yes.
And yes. Kevin Spacey.
There was also narration going on when
yeah,
you first
yeah.
went in, which was her. She'd recorded a whole
Nigadoy.
Narration.
And her voice is kind of...
Aged.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she did. She's like, we're now boarding and... Blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, my impression of hearing her voice now is, like, the first time I saw the initial rebuild of Evangelion movies, I'm like, Misato's gotten old. When did she start sounding like she's in her 40s? But having said that, having her do that is part of... It ties into a lot, because she did the narration for the TV commercials for the Blu-ray box sets.
Well, she's done lots of things. She did like, the PSP games as well.
But this year in particular, because now what they're doing then in September, she's going to be like guest of honor at a fan club event.
Really?
Because it ties in with the launch of the Mega Road.
Okay.
So there are anniversaries and then anniversaries.
What fan club is it?
The Macross. No, the Macross fan Frontier fan club no longer exists. It changed into just the Macross fan club.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know.
But anyways, I digress.
So it's no longer F-Tama Plus?
No, it's now Macross Tama.
Great.
anyways.
So the... It was the official title's what? Macross The Design, right?
Yeah.
And... let me see the flyer. So, yes. Macross The Design at Parco was... a very interesting design, but it was primarily for classic Macross stuff.
Yeah.
It did reference all the shows and Macross 2, most
it
importantly.
It had a giant Ishtar.
There was a one-to-one line art of Ishtar.
Oh, but before you got to the 1-1 line art, you walk through the Mega Road entrance, and you have like video screens showing like the openings for every show. You turn the corner, suddenly you are in the area of
Do You Remember Love?
The Do You Remember Love city, with a sign pointing to the super room, which unfortunately you couldn't go to.
Yeah, I mean, basically you're describing on the ground.
On the
right?
floor. They had the same floor that you had when Hikaru and Minmay are running through the city.
Yeah. With all the, you know, this direction to the super room, this direction to 7-Eleven, this direction to whatever.
And this this was a theme continued because, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but when you got to the one-to-one line art, they were on clear, plastic sheets hanging from the ceiling, and each one was above an illuminated circle on the ground, which was supposed to be the holographic projections from Do You Remember Love.
I totally did not.
I didn't get that. All
it's
I
like,
got
jump
was...
on it, you can be Ishtar, too.
Adrian, okay, see, all I got from it was that the Cheryl one was signed by Maine, and the Minmay one was signed by Mikimoto.
Yes.
They actually signed each one.
But let's go back a bit. So once you get through the archways, playing some footage, and you get the narration, then... And the reason we're explaining this is because, unlike the one-to-one vow, strictly no photos anywhere near. Even if you want to take a picture of the entrance counter to the design exhibit from, like, 20 meters away, like Tim Eldred tried to.
I got one.
Staff jumped him.
Really?
I got one, too.
The picture he got is of a very angry woman yelling at him. I'm like, Tim, you have to send me that.
That's the best picture.
But so there were strictly no pictures inside, unfortunately. But they had lots of... Go around the corner,
but
get through
the
entrance.
Same room with, like, the Do You Remember Love floor, they also had, for some reason, a Zentradi to alphabet... dictionary.
Right.
With some Zentradi words like Zentron, Meltron, Dibron.
So someone's been using that stamp.
Yes. Yes. Are you wearing the socks today?
These are different socks. They're from the same series.
Okay.
Those were red. These are blue.
Okay. So, yeah.
Quinn's like, what the hell are you talking about?
So you had the Zentradi dictionary. And you had the Do You Remember Love floor, and then you turn the corner from that, and then there was a huge video presentation, and that's where the 1-1 stand, like, sheets of all of the singing characters were.
Yeah, because they had Basara, Minmay, Sarah, Ishtar...
Cheryl and Ronka. And Sharon Apple.
And Sharon Apple.
Basara's guitar.
And then, they had, like, Basara's actual guitar.
And Flashback 2012 sells all along the walls.
Except for one.
Well, really? Except for several.
Except for the one Adrian has.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. Yeah, and even, like, some of the reproductions of them, like, blown up, just on, like, on chipboard, were just really nice to see them.
They were good.
And then, before that, they had a room with, like, all the, like... original concept character designs. And so the first room was more character designs.
That was after.
Then later on you had one that was all about the conceptual mecha designs.
Well, when you walk into the next room and it was like...
The first room was character conceptual designs.
The next room was like all of the original ideas. So I remember like before I went to Shibuya, I met up with Renato after he'd been to Shibuya, and he was like, was Miria 14? And I said, I thought she was 15. And he said, well, there was something there that said she was 14. And yeah, it was like all of the original ideas for the characters and original designs for everything. So this is when it was still Battle City Mega Road.
Back when Fokker was Slegger.
Yeah, and back when the cover for the Comico Macross number 1 comic.
Rick Yamada.
Yes, with the Rick Yamada one. That was actually a picture, which I have here,
and
which no one can see.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, it always blows me away seeing how much more they were originally going to emphasize the fact that Minmay was Chinese. Like
just in the
design of the character and the clothing. And I've got to point out...
She was just a Chinese waitress. She wasn't going to play that big a role in
the
story.
Right. She was just supposed to trot up, like, Nikoman to the bridge.
Yeah.
Like Ranka. taking her ramen up.
To I was going to say that, much. But I didn't want to invoke.
Now, I've got to say, what Adrian's looking at the moment, these small pack-in pamphlets that they've had
which
in new type base recently are really reprinting a lot of the stuff from the Parco exhibition just
and
week by week.
Now you know why they didn't want you to take any photographs.
Because, yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because
yeah.
We're going to sell them to you later.
Right.
Yeah, but as you said before, Renato, you wonder why they're not putting these into a book. You know,
yeah.
They better bring out a binder or something. But anyways, so we they had the character art. Then we get into the mecha section, and they had two Lego Valks.
Yes.
Two?
Two.
Yeah, there were two. There was SV-51, and I can't remember what the other one
and
was.
And was it 25 or what? Yeah, 25, I think.
VF-25.
And, yeah, the one built by Kyle Mori.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of them had, like, the fins were cardboard taped onto
right,
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
There
was
like,
a lot of tape on those.
It's like,
I'd
like to pick it up, but I'd be so... I wish you could pick it up, but I'd be so scared of breaking it. Yeah. and then, you know, they had, you know, the original Breast Fighters pictures and all that stuff, yeah.
But the best part of the Parco exhibit was, like,
oh,
suddenly,
go, yeah.
You, like, you walk around the Valkyries, the Lego Valkyries, and then suddenly you hear Runner. Exactly. You hear that, and you turn, and you look, and there is a poster of Minmay standing out with her hands out with snow falling, but for some reason, which my girlfriend didn't understand, the picture is upside down. You walk towards it, and there is a binder in front of you. You open the binder, and there are photos of Minmay in the binder. And so you can turn it to...
the song.
The song, which is exactly what I did. My girlfriend was wondering, why are you slowing down? As I started going through the binder. And I was like, well, it just doesn't feel right to turn it.
Yeah, I took 2 to 3 goes through the song to get through the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I just took my time. But
okay.
I felt sorry for the staff who had to listen, because the next room over was the merchandise store. And they could hear the song playing on repeat
right.
all day.
Well, before you get to the merchandise store, there were the there were the pictures done
by other artists. So.
Yeah, like the Macross tribute.
Yeah,
some ones
by other artists, and there was also some large prints from Macross the First.
Yes,
like the art used for covers and some just blown up panel art.
But some of the art done by other people was really amazing. I really liked
one with them all like. Laying down? Or
yeah,
the
there
girls?
Was that one. There were the ones that were done like the old EMI model covers.
Well, that one was done by... Well, one of them was done by Pop.
Okay.
Who's the big Moe artist.
Right.
And he did his standard Moe character.
In a Rigold.
No. It was Spartan.
Spartans. Yeah, that was right. It was the Spartan.
Yeah, because he does Moe Tan. That was supposed to be Moe Tan as a Spartan.
Right. So, Moe Tan, so Spartan.
And then the other one that was similar to that was the...
Tan is supposed to be a cute kind of suffix. For
the yeah, movie. it's like Chan, but it's cuter.
Yeah.
What's that, frog? Keta something?
Yeah, there was the Kero Gunsol, whatever.
He was coming out of a battle pod, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was the one in the
Rigol. Yeah.
But the one with all the girls, apparently that was the... that was done by the character designer for Aquarian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Which featured Ishtar. So.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I had noticed she was in there.
Because it had all the women of Macross.
Yeah, but nobody notices Ishtar unless she's got long hair and that spandex outfit.
You just see that dot of blue and you're like, aha, there she is.
Yeah. Who's that? Oh, the dot. It's Ishtar. Yes.
But yeah, and then... You move on into the merch shop, and of course they had PSP covers. They had Minmay dolls, which unfortunately do not stand up.
Which I did not manage to get.
Oh, I have extra.
Oh, okay.
If any of you out there need extra Minmay dolls.
Okay. However, they were selling the shirt that I am wearing right now, which is a Cheryl shirt.
They also had canned bread.
Yes.
Which was great because just the design on the cans was pretty cool. They had a Fire Bomber one, they had the actual the Mega Road poster from Flashback
right.
was wrapped around a can.
Well, wait, Renato took pictures of some of the good clear files there, because all of them had really strange English
I
on them.
I bought a bunch of those. Was that, wasn't that...
So there was the, there was the Listen to My Song
yeah.
yep. for Macross 7.
There was Who Are You Kissing?
No, but what was it? What was it exactly? It was not Who Are You Kissing.
I'll tell you what, I'll check my phone and I'll get back to you.
Okay. It was like... Who are you kiss who, now or something like that?
Right, but then there was a
file. Oh, I don't think it's on here. I think it's
there was Listen to my Song. Camera,
there was Listen to My Song for Macross 7. There was the Do You Remember Love, and there was the Frontier one, which was the most Englishy.
Right, but they were all in this, you know, Art Deco kind of style. Which
they were really cool.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen some of them blown up, just like, you know, sold on a wood print.
I would have liked to see them as toilet symbols. You know, this is the male toilet and this is the female toilet.
This is because Renato is a cynic.
So it would have Alto on the female's toilet.
Yes.
Right. Alto would be the...
And Cheryl on the male.
Just as Basara.
Just as Basara.
Oh, that figure.
Which is coming out.
Here we go.
Yeah, here's some I pick up that...
Oh, the note paints.
Open Ranka.
You got an Open Ranka one. Oh, these are the newer designs.
Black or white.
Oh, I haven't seen that one before.
No, I haven't seen that either.
That's the bunny.
Bunny.
No, they probably made them specially for the Nowhere, right?
Yeah, they did increase them.
Okay.
Which means that when they do it in Osaka, hopefully we'll get some more. But yeah, look, I think, you know, and then bought armfuls of Minmay dolls and ran out like Rory Konda.
Lonely, 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 loy.
Yeah, that's the one. So, also at the
Tomo Sakurai.
At the back, they had.
I would never wear anything so revealing. I would only star in porn.
At the back and front, they had a stamp rally point because
yes,
going to either the Wonder One Valk. Did you get the initial stamp form only at the Valk, or could you get it at Parco?
You could get it at both. I got it at Parco.
And then you had to go both of the events, plus a whole bunch of smaller spots or in the vicinity and
get
stamps.
There were five stamps you needed to get. So you needed to go to the Ikebukuro event.
Which was the Wonder One Valk.
You needed to go to the Parco event.
Right.
You needed to go to Animate in Ikebukuro.
Which is a pain in the ass.
No, that was not the pain in the ass. The pain in the ass was Akos in Ikebukuro, because that was way out of the way.
Well, and also, I felt, because that was like a little cosplay shop, pretty much.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, Cheryl costumes in the window. But, like, the staff are all there in costume, expecting their normal, you know, Fujoshi clientele to come in and buy costumes. But everyone's just going through the door, into the elevator, and straight up to this floor with the stamps. And just...
Not buying
anything at all and just coming straight. Like, they had a constant flow of traffic.
Had to go to the Chinese restaurant on the 7th floor of Parco.
But you didn't have to eat there, though.
You didn't have to eat there, and thankfully, the stamp was outside the restaurant.
Yeah.
Right.
So you could just go and get the stamp, not bother anyone.
We, however, did eat there, and Adrian had
it looked like it was good.
Ramen.
It looked like it was good.
It was not.
It was not? No. Okay.
It was big. It was massive, but it was not very good.
Oh, okay. I had the fried rice.
How was that?
Fried lice?
Fried lice. It was all right. It was good.
But they had, you know, the Nyan Nyan stickers on the windows and the cutout
ranker
at the front.
Yeah, they had the Galaxy Ramen from Itzawari no
Like, they pretty much...
had the Galaxy Ramen, and you got a coaster, I think, right? Or something.
They converted the shop, pretty much, because where you'd normally have the shop symbols on the windows, they had the Nyan Nyan.
And on Facebook, Kawamori... There was a picture of Kawamori eating Galaxy Ramen.
There was. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to jump ahead... briefly, so we don't just double back, but Howard, for the Nagoya version of this, did you see what they did for the restaurant up there when you had the parfait?
They put a bunch of 1-to-1 scale stand-ups for various characters,
right?
And they were playing a continuous loop of the various Macross songs, and they had 7 different parfaits, each for the different singers, including Ishtar. So if you get the parfait, you get a coaster with a picture of that singer on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the Deculture Zentradi parfait, which is a bucket
of ice cream, large by even American standards.
How much does it cost?
7,000 yen.
Right. And does that get you all the coasters?
If you eat all of it.
Oh, damn. So if you don't eat all of it, you don't get coasters.
Eat all of it, you don't get anything.
Oh, to hell really? With that.
Yeah.
To hell with that.
The parfaits, it comes on a tray with the parfait in the middle, the coaster to the right, and then a chocolate dust piece of art on the left. So you automatically get it whether you eat or not, if you get the parfaits individually.
Hmm.
Which is actually has less ice cream and stuff, so you're getting more ice cream for your money, but you run the risk of not getting your coasters.
Right.
Which is probably the number one reason you're going there.
Right, yeah, no, exactly. And I saw pictures posted of, and I don't know if this was where you got the parfait from, but they had a giant Clan Clan head. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, we walked in. I think it's to the entrance of the cafe.
Yeah,
there's maybe. All the cutouts to the characters,
there's
right?
There's a one-one Michelle,
right?
Yeah,
and then there's like a wall, and above the wall was her head peeking over, and it was supposed to be in scale, compared to the Michelle. Like they put a picture up of it on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
But so that was the Nagoya version. But before we move on to the Valk, I mean, well, as you said, Renato, the Paco event was very much for more old school fans. I think that was because, you know, a lot of the 1-to-1 Valk, or being a 25, was more focused. It's not like it ignored the older stuff, but it was more focused for newer fans, I think. But before we jump to that, then, the follow up, of course, is that Miki Mortal then did. He's signing up on the 7th floor.
Yes.
Was it a week after? 2 weeks? 1 or 2 weeks after?
Well, chronologically speaking, we all went to the other event, Ikebukuro,
right.
In between this. So
right.
We went back to the Shibuya, the Parco, the design.
Yeah.
The Macros, the design at Parco event at Shibuya after having been to the one at Ikebukuro on that day.
Okay. Well,
and there we met you.
Yeah,
you were lining up.
I was lined up to get
like
my Miki Mortal signature. And I mean, I've gotten,
like,
you know,
a herd of cattle.
My fair share of signatures, but this time it was an actual piece of, you know, new Macross the First art. Granted, it was an overly Moe-looking Minmay, which if it didn't say Macross on it, there was no indication it was Minmay. But
we
he
should also
it.
Add that Howard, other Howard from Osaka was there too. We have two Howard
right.
from Osaka. One of them is sitting here with us, but we also have Howard too.
All right, so we lined up,
and he was there.
Miki Mortal was there, and you know, in the annual art exhibits that he does, where he sells his artwork for really large amounts of money, normally, you know, he does a talk, and you get to talk to him a little bit, shake his hand, get an autograph on whatever piece of art they've printed copies of for that thing. This time around, they'll like, you know, keep it to, you know, so many seconds per person. They'll like keep it to 30 seconds
yeah.
because we've got to get through like 150 people or something at least. And so they're going through pretty quickly until the
was
people.
It that many?
There were quite a few. I mean,
there was 100 tickets.
Oh, okay.
Was it only 100?
It was 100.
Okay. Sorry. There was a second signing, which I'll get to later on, which is probably close to 150.
Well, that was a different event.
That was like 3 weeks after, yeah.
Okay.
But in the line in front of me was a couple with a baby, and the baby had custom-made De Culture baby wear on. It said De Culture all over
it. I made
sure
to take a photograph of that.
And they wanted a picture of them with the baby, with Miki Mortal.
It's amazing, because this couple is relatively young. Okay?
Yeah.
They're like our age, I think.
I don't know, we haven't had a kid yet, Renato, don't you?
Well, don't rush it. And so they met because they were Macross fans, apparently. That's how they got together.
Okay,
after
I didn't know
to
that.
Them, I spoke to them for a little bit afterwards. And they had just moved to Tokyo. I think the guy moved first
right.
to Tokyo from, I don't remember where it was. And his wife moved afterwards, just like a matter of weeks before this event.
Mm-hmm.
So she was still trying to, you know, get used to life in the big city or whatever. It was really interesting the way that people can meet thanks to Macross now. The power of the dream, living the love song. Yeah.
From some alien civilization.
Power to the dream.
Okay. And then, fortunately for me, because I've gotten Mickey Mouse's autograph, but I've never had a photo taken with him, but someone played the Gaijin card.
Yeah, where I just cut in line.
You just cut in line. Well, first of all, you had a ticket, but you were there late.
I'm going to tell that story afterwards. No, I didn't come late. I'm going to tell that story after this thing.
Really? No, after...
Well, okay, so I cut in line because I think maybe the other Howard, or maybe you, Howard, came up to me and said that Gwyn wants a photograph.
Basically, I'm in line with the couple in front. They ask for a picture, and then I see a couple of guys from the Japanese Macross fan club we know, kind of off to my left. They've had their autographs. They're kind of trying to take the odd picture. I'm like, you're taking pictures, you know? They got a picture with him. I'd love it if you could just sneak a picture when I'm shaking his hand. And they're like, I'll grab Renato, he's here. I'm like, what? And they just run off and someone...
Well, why didn't they take one?
Because they knew that you had the power of the Gaijin card.
All right. Okay, well, I did my thing and went in there. And I fixed everyone's problems, as I usually do. And
he's taking your line, isn't he?
This is true.
And anyway, did you say something to
Mikimoto? Yeah. I talked to him about Ryber. I said, well, because I've been talking about Ryber, and you know, he claims that Ryber is drawn more like a pretty boy now because that's the way he originally meant the character to look. Sure. But that they just didn't have much time to work on the character.
But
and
he's not Haruhiko's Ryber anymore.
Well, this is the other thing I've yet
his
to
liver.
Confirm with him.
Okay. No, it's confirmed because...
Well, how's it confirmed?
His liver. The latest volume of Macross the First has come out, and they change.
I know they change it, but how is that any more legit than any of the other print versions?
That's a good point.
See, this is a
as
question...
As Kanamori would say, it's all a matter of how you
see, Liber's name is actually a tribute to Liber within Liber's life, and then...
Right.
What's his name now?
Liber.
Maybe he watched Firefly and it's actually River.
I was... all I remember is that I was extremely busy during all of this because I had people coming up to me that I had never met before that said, hey, you're Renato. Like that guy, that Japanese guy. Who, he's called Bansan and he's...
Antibiotic
Lab.
Right.
Or Lat. Or Lad.
Something. He's on the forums.
He's on the forums. Nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's started talking.
He posted that video of the final weekend of.
He's posted lots of videos.
Where they
had stalls out the front and you could win
where
stuff.
They have like the.
Sound surprised, but I actually.
I didn't know that was happening. I had no
That's
idea.
That's because you don't check the front page. I put that on the news a long time ago.
That they were doing stalls?
That they were going to do that.
They had this.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
The Macross Yo-Yo...
Air Bazooka.
And the Air Bazooka.
Yeah. And the Air Bazooka idea is something that's not new, because the last two Frontier events, Kawamori has shot an Air Bazooka, so that's kind of where that came from.
Apart from that, I had an ex-student of mine come up to me, and she's like one of these... She's Chinese, okay, but... She's one of those girls that is, like, super... All about fashion, right? And you know that she goes to Shibuya all the time, check out all the Forever 21 or whatever.
Right.
And she was probably around Parco in the area looking for shops or something.
But she was on the complete wrong floor for that.
I know! And she saw me, and she said, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I could ask you the same question. Who's more out of place, you or me?
Exactly.
And so she was like, I just saw crowds of people and I was wondering what was going on. And I said, well, this is one of the reasons why I'm in Japan. This guy has affected me and my life so deeply that you would never understand. And
I told him that face to face and he just looked at me and he was like, and? Such a downer.
Yeah. He tends to do that.
Yeah. Anyway.
And I was like, hey, you should really check out the exhibition on the third floor. And I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'm good. It's like 600 yen, right? Yeah, no, thanks.
What oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, never mind then. And,
Whereas my girlfriend had never seen Macross before, and we went through the Parco exhibit, and she was like, oh, ha, 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 oh, moshiroi.
Okay.
Right. You sound like you're not being sincere there, though.
No, I'm being sincere.
But was she?
Well,
that's the point.
Look, like I said, we had the mid-season break.
All right.
And now during that mid-season break, she watched Macross.
And realized she was wrong about it.
And then we got back together.
Power of love, people.
Yes, yes.
Power of the song. All right, so, and then,
I'm not
yeah.
done.
Okay, keep
there
going.
There was more.
Please,
the
please
guy
go.
Who worked at Kadokawa, who, by the way, is the company that Haruhiko Mikimoto effectively works for, right? Because they're
right.
the ones who publish his manga. Tsuji Soichi. We didn't know each other personally, but we had had lots of interaction online because he knows a lot of the people that I know, and he knows that I'm doing research on stuff, particularly in the 80s and anime production and co-productions with other US companies. So that, you know, ties into Top Craft, it ties into Tokyo Movie Shinsha, it ties into all these things. And he comes up to me and says, "Ah, Ryoto-san!" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're the third person who's done this to me today. Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Tsuji." And I'm like, "Tsuji? Oh, Tsuji Soichi from Kadokawa." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm here for works, but we should meet up someday." And I'm like, "Sure, sure." So, you know, I get his business card and everything. Then I turn around and it's that baby with the decultured t-shirt or whatever.
Right,
and then
right.
I turn around and it's someone who wants to take a photograph of you. And then I go over there. And while all this was going on, Howard 2 had asked me to look after his hat, okay? And yes, I'm going there, okay? So I was holding this hat for most of this time, but I had to go downstairs to check whether or not this free... Okay, if you complete the stamp rally, you get a mini clear file, right?
Mini clear file.
What's the point of it, though, as a clear file? I mean, what are you going to
it's
put in
it? It's too small, right?
Yeah, there's nothing you can use.
Anyway,
you can put the stamp rally thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't know if it was going to be two designs or if it was just one design at the front, one design at the back. Yeah? Yeah. Now I know that it's double-sided. I had to check. So that's why I went back downstairs to the third floor. This signing was on the seventh floor. I went downstairs and I told Howard 1, look after the hat, please. And I went downstairs. I went back upstairs. I promptly notified Adrian. Yeah, it is just one design. It's just front and back that they've printed. And he was like, "Oh, okay." And I don't know. I have a few more conversations with some other random people. And then... what is it? Adrian comes up... No. Howard 2 comes back from the signing and says, "I'll have my hat back now, please." And I'm like, "Oh, I give it to Howard 1. And I turn around and Howard 1 is like, "Oh, hang on, I'll be right back." And he runs off somewhere. And we're like, "Where did he go?" and so we follow him into the men's bathroom. And he comes out and he's like, "It was here. I know it was here." And then we begin 30 minutes of full-on backpedaling to try and trace back Howard's steps for where he may have left this hat. And cut a long story short, it begins this huge
search. It's too
late
for that.
Okay, this becomes the Holy Grail now. And I say, "Don't worry, okay, I'll grab one of this staff. He'll direct us to the Lost and Found, because I'm sure someone's found it and put it in the Lost and Found thing, wherever that is." And
people do that in Japan.
They
yeah,
do
bear
that.
In mind this
they
is
do
Tokyo.
Actually do this. Yeah.
No, one time I accidentally left my bag at Dotor on my way to work.
Yeah.
And
with your wallet and everything, right?
Yeah, and yeah. I came back and I asked the Dotor staff, "I left my bag here earlier. Have you seen it?" And they were like, they checked their Lost and Found. They were like, no, it's not here." So I went back upstairs, and it was still on the same chair where I left it.
Yeah.
No one had sat at that chair because they thought someone was sitting there.
Right. This has happened a lot to me as well. I've left my bag with my Gaijin registration card, with my wallet, with everything. In Kentucky Fried Chicken, I've left... my wife left the watch that I gave her
for
a present.
How many Vulcan Valkyries have you left places?
Zero.
Okay.
Because which why would shows you take a little about my when they're broken. Right. And he breaks them all. So,
I don't break. They come so, broken in the box. Look, blame me, Aladdin.
I don't know which is worse, talking for half an hour about AKB or talking.
To the silver lining.
The silver lining is that. I'm about to go to the Lost and Found with these guys because I harassed one of the staff and he said, okay, come with us. Packing an AK-47. And we go to the elevator and some guy comes up to me and says, here you go, and shoves a ticket in my face, a signed ticket. I didn't have one. And I'm like, what is this? And he said, it's a signed ticket. Yeah, I've got a spare. I don't want it. And I'm like, well, I can take this, it's okay. And he's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, well, how much do you want for it? And he said, zero, nothing. Go for it, it's yours.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. And I feel kind of bad. I turn around to these guys and I'm like, okay, Howard's, you're on your own. See you later. See you later, guys.
Mickey Moto awaits.
Hope the hat thing works out. And,
I look at the number. Did the mind anything?
Yes.
It did. It did. After all, it was there.
Me and
you know?
Howard too actually went to the Lost and Found, and the hat was actually there.
It was, okay. It was incredible. I look at my number, and it's 49, and they're like on 50 something,
and I'm like 70
something. Put me, and they put me to the front of the queue,
they
and
push
I'm like
you in the front of everyone. It's like, yeah, who's this gaijin, and why is he pushing in the front?
Yeah, and I'm like not prepared for anything I'm going to say to Mikimura. I'm like, hey, it's me again. Hey, sorry.
Yeah, you did say that. I heard you say that. Yeah,
yeah, you know what? Here I am. Just sign this and I'll be on my way. I'll be out of your trouble. I really don't want to get into this whole thing. I'm sorry. See you later. Bye.
I'm sure you left quite an impression.
And then I went back to the Macross fans and we chatted about a whole bunch of stuff and it was really cool.
And I had a bunch of artwork.
Exactly, because some guy had a friend who worked at what studio must it have been that made what Hero
Plus,
or something?
Plus yeah. And Seven. He had stuff from Plus and Seven, right?
Yeah, he had stuff from
oh,
Plus
wait,
and
wait,
Seven.
Isn't this
LA
the
Hero.
Stuff we're not supposed to talk about.
Oh, we just okay,
we can
sure.
talk about it,
we
but we don't show
it.
Yeah.
This isn't a video podcast.
He had a lot of stuff. Some of it
I
was.
Mean, I don't have copies of it lying around. Or anything.
Some of it was unpublished, like a view of the VF-11 from the ground. That was pretty cool. And, yeah. And they were sharing lots of archived material. You know, some of them had scans from old magazines. That
right. Yeah. Like they had this sheet with all like different Valks printed on it. And
yeah. I mean, and talking to them, and we were actually making a point of, you know, well, this is what the event should be. Like
fans,
we should all
together.
Get together and share stuff and talk about shit.
Do a podcast.
Yeah.
You sound so enthusiastic. Anyway.
Well, there's one thing doing a podcast months after the fact, isn't it?
No, it's putting it up months after the fact.
Right.
Either way.
No, we're recording it very soon after the fact.
Says the guy who's reading Volume 4 of Macross the First while we're trying to talk. It's the fishnet stockings, isn't it? Anyway.
It's the fishnet stockings.
So shall we move on to the Wonder One?
Go ahead.
Okay.
So I've got to give you the lowdown. I went to day one. I managed to get fan club tickets for the Wonder One Valve. For day one, opening and I was going to go with Adrian and Kai, who's the guy from my office I've mentioned previously, who is really big in the Valks and is broke because he spent all his money on Yamatals.
I'm sorry, I don't care if you went the first day. The most important thing is that when we all went together, we went with a Japanese girl who
was
dressed as Menmei.
We will get to that. That's the second time. Not that. The problem
okay.
here is I told you day one opening Adrian
okay,
and Kai.
Okay.
Except for one thing, both of them slept in and missed it.
Oh.
So I'm waiting at Ikebukuro for them, and like I'm calling, and Adrian's not picking up. And it's like I gotta go get in line. There's gonna be a bunch of people waiting already. I'm
Were you
sure.
there when I went?
This was like 9 a.m. day one.
Probably not. Then.
And so I got to the point where I was just like, I could not get either of them to pick up on the phone. I'm like, well, maybe they're already there. Surely they wouldn't. Or maybe they're on a train, so they can't pick up their phone. So I'm in line, and there was a decent crowd. There was probably at least 80 to 100 people in front of me. And that's when the phone calls start coming. Like, oh, I just woke up. Yeah, my phone was on silent mode. And so I had these fan club tickets, which, granted, you could use on other days, but they didn't turn up. So I ended up going through the thing my first time by myself. I talked to a couple of people, but, you know, I went through it myself, and I didn't get much in the way of pictures with the Valk because I was there by myself. I got pictures of everything else. And, you know, there are a few cosplayers, but the thing is, it was relatively empty, is the second point I want to make. Like, you had a crowd to get in there, but there weren't many cosplayers because it was the first thing on that Saturday. And Golden Week, the Japanese public holiday, hadn't really started yet. It was like the first... Golden Week, for a lot of companies, started that Saturday and went for 9 days, but for many companies, didn't actually start until, like, the following Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I went that Saturday, and it was easy to get pictures of anything I wanted, and you could take pictures, unlike Parker. But then the second time I went, which was the following weekend with you, Richard, with a friend of ours, and Adrian, you were there, and it was packed, and there were way more cosplayers, and it was really interesting. Oh, I've got much better pictures than that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I'll have to send you some.
Please do.
But so, yeah. So anyways, let's jump ahead to the second time, because it's more interesting when the bunch of us went together. So we went to the Wonder One Valk, and you go in the door, and, you know, they give you, if you had a special ticket, you get a hand towel. If not, you just get, like, a strap.
I
you
have go the in, towel. It has Minmay, Cheryl, and Ronka on it.
It does. And so we go in, and what do we see? Their logo for the event, and then you turn to right, and...
There's a star artwork. Map. There was a star map showing where every fleet went, which is probably more accurate than the one that was actually in the series.
Right. Okay.
And then there were life-size standees of Cheryl, Ronka, and Alto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. And then you go down this hallway, and they had... It was not a... dissimilar architecture to the opening of the Parker exhibit. You had kind of like an arch, and in every segment between the arches was a different series of Macross with artwork and bad spelling along with the artwork.
Yes, including the Floss... What was it? Floss Diva?
The Fastlay Diva, I think it was. But,
but the important point is that we went with a girl who was dressed as... Minmay from Do You Remember Love.
But you guys did, we didn't.
Well, yeah, she said she was thinking of doing it, and I kind of badgered her and made sure she'd do it. So, yeah, it was
She also dressed as cowgirl Cheryl, so we love her.
But, yeah, and because she was there and dressed as Minmay and a half-decent Minmay, we kept getting stopped by people wanting to take pictures with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there were dozens of Rankers and Cheryls.
Right.
But there weren't... I saw one of them in me.
Hell, one of Gwyn's friends even managed to take a picture with, like, what was it, 10 different Rankas,
it was more like,
all in different costumes.
I think it was about 7 of them, but the thing
is... Were they all, like, strangers?
Yeah, they were all strangers, and they'd all turned up in different Ranka costumes.
That's pretty cool.
He was pretty cool.
And that shows you that Ebata should go back to designing fashion, and because that's what she does best.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we go in there, and also Kai from my office came, and it was hilarious because he's all about mecha, so like we're like, oh, you know, they've got the gate from the school, from Frontier, you know, made with the logo of the school on it.
Which is basically Soccer Gate from UC Berkeley.
Right. But they had like a wall-sized picture of what you'd see through the gate. So you could see. It was cool. But it's like, where's Kai gone? No, he's at the Valk. He's not moving. He's like, and there were halls upon halls of stuff to look at.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just went, boom, straight through them all to the Valk.
Especially like the best wall, which showed the connections between every Macross character in every single series.
Except right. Number 2.
No, Macross
was there.
It's got an entire slide to it.
Yeah.
He even talked about Mosh.
The artists that you were talking about, like, at the very beginning, they each represented a different series.
Yeah.
Macross 2 got half of one.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about was
after
that.
No, but this
that.
Is after
so,
that, yeah.
So you walk through, like, the gate into Mihoshi High School, and you, if you're me, you cup... Nanase's breast, and then you move on to the chalkboard, which shows all of the connections of the characters.
And you know what I was somewhat moved by?
Yes.
And which kind of ties into the whole these are strangers taking their pictures together thing. That there were parents and kids looking at this thing, and like the parents were saying,
hey, look, this is the original fucker. This isn't Ozma. And the kids were saying, oh, this looks like Ozma. And it's like, no. See, this is from the original series. And this is, oh, I see. That's how it ties in together.
All that jumped out at me was there was a guy in front of me with a shirt where the back said, life's a bitch.
Well, see, there was a guy with two girls behind me. And what cracked me up was they were looking at the chart for the original Macross TV series. And he's looking at one of the girls is like, oh, look at Shammy, she's so cute. And the other girl's like, yeah, she's so cute for a mass murderer. And I'm like, wait, what? If they don't explain what they're talking about, I'm going to turn around and ask. But then the guy's like, oh, that's right. She's the reason the barrier overloaded. She killed everyone, didn't she?
Oh, okay.
She was the last one to turn to the captain and say, Captain, we don't have control.
No, like, see, the best one for me was that I was looking at it. I was looking at the original Macross things, and there was the science officer.
Right.
The science officer who created the pinpoint barrier. And Adrian turned to me and was like, so what's Dr. Lang's name in Japanese? I'm like, he doesn't have a name. He's not important.
Who's Chris Takatoku?
See, I took this one just for you, Adrian.
Oh,
that's Marsh.
You're showing him a picture of Mash.
Mash. Or even better.
Rather abrupt.
So taking me to the moon, Hibiki, I'm sure I'll learn a lot.
We had director, SNN television station, director. It's like they had, so, and the thing, this is what I liked about the picture for Max and Miria. They had the names listed for every single one of their daughters.
Yeah, so it shows a picture of, like, baby Komiria, and then it's got the names of, like, all of their children, all of their daughters, including the adopted one.
Including the adopted one, that blew me away.
Komiria, Miracle, Teus?
Teresa?
There's Teus before Teresa. Therese.
Therese.
Therese. Teus. Emiria. Miranda. Milen. And Moalamia.
Yeah.
Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Who's
five,
the adopted
six, seven,
child?
Moalamia from
M3.
Oh, the girl with the red hair?
Does she have red hair?
Purple hair.
Purple. Yeah, it's purplish. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was an amazing.
It was a pretty amazing wall.
Yeah, it was.
Pretty cool.
And I think as we got to that point, Gwen was like, okay, this is like the real exhibit. Because before that, you had, like, places where they had Ranka with the carrot, Ranka with the natto, and you could stick your head through a little hole and take a picture as though you were Ranka. And Gwyn is currently showing me the Dennis Lone picture and giving me a thumbs up.
Just for Adrian.
Yes.
Hey, Dennis, it's better than Marsh.
Drinking during the day.
Because Dennis Sloan is the best character in Macross 2.
Bar none. And it was pretty. This is the first one.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Okay, they had an SDF-1.
They had
a Dodoma head on it. And I don't really understand.
Oh, it's been
what
at a
purpose.
Bunch of events. It was at the event in Ikebukuro when they released the second movie upstairs.
It was.
When they released the first movie, sure.
And yeah, they. Oh, it was also at the Yokohama events, and since then it's been signed by all the cast members of Frontier.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was, in the first movie, didn't they have a Daruma in it, for some reason?
Yeah, they did. It was one of the Ranka ads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Daruma Semina.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and then you get out of that, and you go around the corner, and they had, like, Macross History.
Yeah.
Which was, like,
The timeline. If you have perfect memory, it was the timeline from that. Right. If you have, like, any of the Macross 7 volumes, it was the timeline from that.
If you have the internet, it was the Macross Compendium.
It was, if you have the internet, it was the Macross Compendium.
And
they
had
said.
Some footage playing on small screens for every iteration of Macross, you know. In fact, the only thing that wasn't really represented was anything from the games. It would be nice if they showed some of the stuff.
They had Moramia written.
Yeah.
Written right, a name on a big board.
So once you get past that, you get to the life-size Valkyrie.
Bum, bum, bum.
Right.
Yes.
Sorry.
And you see, the first time I saw it, they weren't as strict as they were the second time. Like, second time,
they were
like,
really strict.
You have to go through and get in line. You can't take pictures from the outside because people can't loiter
outside the barrier. You have to come in, and there were two ways. You could get in line to get a picture standing on the hand of the Valkyrie, or you could go past there in front and just take pictures of it, itself. The first time around, I took pictures of the Valk. Second time around, we all got pictures standing in the hand, including you, Adrian.
And I was really envious of Renato's picture where it looked like he was surfing, so I tried to look like I was really scared.
Yeah, and you do look like you're really scared in
and,
that picture.
Well, I was really scared because I actually touched one of the fingers, and then the staff member said, "Don't touch the Valkyrie."
Oh, there's a reason they said that.
Because it falls apart?
No, we'll get to Nagoya after that. You guys finish up. Well, okay.
Well, yeah, that was pretty much it. And then, like, well, our friend who was dressed as Minmay did a nice salute, and it looked really awesome, and I was really envious.
But then in Nagoya, Adrian?
Apparently in Nagoya.
Adrian, you went to Nagoya?
No, I didn't, but I met with Tenjin last week, and Tenjin gave me the lowdown. And
that's even better. Oh, that's a good picture. So, meeting with Tenjin is probably better than going to Nagoya. I just got to say that. I'll put that out there.
Nagoya's pretty cool.
Nagoya's cool.
You got OSS 21.
Tenjin,
But the differences between the event, because Howard went, but he went after the one-to-one event.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't see the one-to-one. He just went to the parfait place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you went to the design, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But the Nagoya event was only 3 days. And apparently they had...
Nice.
You know the line we had to wait to get the photo?
Yeah.
On the Valkyrie hand?
Yeah, which wasn't all that bad.
What was all that?
Like, maybe what, 20 minutes? No, 10,
not even,
15?
Not even.
Like 8 minutes.
8 minutes, right? At least.
Because it was only...
At most.
Because it was only a 3-day event,
mm-hmm.
The longest queue in Nagoya was 90 minutes.
Damn!
Yeah.
And you could only take one photograph.
But there is a reason for this.
Well, it's just a 3-day event.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Whereas here it was like 9 days.
Right.
Over Golden Week.
And on Tenjin's return, he was informed that one of the fingers on the Valk broke.
Wow, okay.
Sorry,
I'm afraid that's
my fault.
That's
when we found out Renato had been to Nagoya.
For the record, I never went to Nagoya.
Because after the shoulders is the fingers. So...
Okay. You can just, you know,
blame your mother.
Just blame your mother.
It works well. So
we just send a file to Shapeways and just, you know, get one fixed up for you really quick there.
Giant finger. Make me a giant finger. And then around the Valk, I think it's important to note that it's not complete. It wasn't complete.
It changed, actually. When we saw the Valk the first time, I remember Renato pointed out that on the nose of the Valkyrie, there was like a piece on the nose that kind of went up. You pointed out, like, I didn't know that it was supposed to be like a beveled surface on the nose.
No.
Do you remember that?
No. I don't remember most things.
You were pointing it out. This part.
Yeah.
This part right here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yep.
And I was like, oh, it's probably like some air intake that you can't see. No, it was a mistake, because they actually did fix it.
It looked like a mistake, yeah.
They fixed it, and they made it flush.
There you go.
For the Nagoya. And they put a bunch more decals on the actual Valk itself, and added a few more props to the actual docking bay.
The description of Nagoya was the Tokyo exhibit plus Alpha. And the Tokyo exhibit was based on the premise that it was in go-walk mode, but it was in an engineering maintenance bay. So, therefore, you either couldn't see the legs or the legs weren't on it. And to be honest, it was a lot less finished than I was expecting. Because not only did it not have the legs, how much of the actual body did we get? Like, maybe 60%?
No, I would say less.
Yeah. And it finished, it ended in a wall where the shoulder joints basically joined into the wall. And still, when it eventually makes its way down to Osaka, it's supposed to have the legs be completely finished to the back and be freestanding.
And
it's
wings and the back fins and everything.
So it's not just like adding legs to it. It's a considerable completion of the project. I mean, it's pretty much double what we'll have seen.
More than that, I would say.
And I don't know how they're going to get it to stand up. All I can imagine is that they're going to have the nose pointing towards the ground, so it seems like it's touching the ground, so they have a support pole going into the ground from the nose or something.
Yamato. Because of their ankles.
But
we'll talk about that later.
But yeah, so I took, you know, plenty of pictures around the Valk and, you know, close-ups of the hands and around it. But once we got through there, they had more stuff on the walls. They had like a chart of every single Valk ever made, like in development order.
Yeah, even the Girl Walkeroid.
Oh really? Was that in there?
From the Macross 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh really?
That was in there. That thing that only gets one frame of screen time.
I must have, okay, I'll have to pull up my photos of that and have a look later.
Yeah, but, I was surprised.
It was kind of cool. They had clusters of them based on like heritage for each, yes, yes, each, you know, Valk.
Yeah, it was nice to see that they considered everything as far as anything that was animated. Like, yeah, there was nothing about games, but
they were playing HD clips of SDF Macross.
They were?
Oh, they were playing clips. I don't know if they were HD ones.
They were HD.
Were they?
They were on a large, huge projection screen. They looked clear as day.
But, yeah, it's a big projection screen.
But it looked really clear. So
oh, that was where they were just showing all the Valks, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were showing lots of sequences from the original show. And the idea is that they were basically propaganda films for recruiting purposes. So this is all in-world kind of settings. And then on the opposite wall, they had lots of Yamato Valkyries.
Right.
They had the VF-19, they had the
VF-22, etc. Yeah, no, I got some pics of those too, yeah. And so you come out of that, and there's some more life-size characters, and then you get into the song section, where they had the one-to-one Ranka, Cheryl, and Minmay.
And no, I mean, Minmay, no Milena and Vassar.
Yeah, well, the highlight for me was the Minmay, because it was really well done, I thought. What cracked everyone up was that they had a very prominent sign next to Ranka, wearing, because she's wearing a short skirt, saying...
Next to all of them?
Yeah, it was on all of them.
Was it on all of them? Maybe it's just because... I know, but I think maybe it's just because you turn the corner and Ranka's the first one we came across. So okay. That's where it stood out to me the most, saying no low-angle shots, no panty shots of our songstresses. And they actually had security guards, like, in between each of the life-size figures.
Yeah.
But they were really well done, I thought.
And I wouldn't have thought of taking a low angle shot. But the sign is there, so it makes me wonder. So what is under there?
So we just Gaijin smashed it, and you know, just went ahead and took a big shot of Cheryl's panties.
Did we?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. We got some pictures with that in front of the big Ranka sign. Because in between each life-size model, they had like a big picture of Ranka's face and a big picture of Cheryl and a big picture of Minmay. And next to this they had clips, like music clips for pretty much all Macross songs running, like in order, from the original through to Frontier in the movies. And people were actually quite bunched around that, just watching on this huge wall, like just Macross music playing. And then they had the legendary song posters up, which had the lyrics for songs, so they had... It was a weird selection, though. I mean, they listed Voices and Try Again as legendary songs of Macross. I'm not sure what the selection criteria was.
Well, Try Again was the song that Ozma fought to in the Frontier episode.
But still.
I heard something totally different.
It's a very important song. It was in VFX.
Well, once again, they didn't really do much with the games, which is why I'm surprised it was...
Legendary.
Mean, they put Do You Remember Love up there, I understand. My boyfriend's a pilot, even, but I was like, Voices and Try Again, really? I mean, wouldn't Seventh Moon come before Try Again? Surely.
What was the Macross 2 legendary song?
It was, I think it was the Moisho Love You.
Was it? I thought it was the ending song from the credits.
It might have been.
Yeah, because I don't think it was Mochiro Love.
Wasn't it?
No, it definitely wasn't that.
It was Banana.
And then after that, they had the Valkyrie history.
It's not bad, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we kind of touched on that. But
okay. We had the Valkyrie history and the Destroid history. I took a
photo. Oh, the Destroids were there, yeah.
Yeah, I took the Destroid history picture just to piss off, like, Macross World people who want an OVA about... Destroid pilots.
They should totally make an OVA about Destroid pilots.
It would be a short film. It would be a very short film. Maybe 5 minutes and like Destroid pilots going out and then getting killed.
Yeah. I could
Yeah, I could
be
also
more like crash test dummy footage, but
again, exactly. Exactly.
It would be so easy to make. I don't know why they wouldn't make it.
So yeah, we're talking about the 1-to-1, the 1-to-1 rank of Cheryl and.
Oh yeah, yeah. So did you talk about the sign?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But there were, well, I thought Minmay, of course, was the highlight of the three.
Minmay was the highlight, but only because we had an actual Minmay with us.
And everyone stopped us at that figure asking for pictures of her.
She kept, like, posing in front of the statue and looking back at the statue to make sure that her pose was correct.
Right. And then someone rolled up a pamphlet because she didn't have a microphone.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that kind of ruins it.
No, it worked. It worked. Really? It totally worked.
But,
And the other thing is that that statue of Minmay had a very nice background as well, right?
They had
the FDF1 at the back.
Yeah.
And they had, like, little lights in it blinking and stuff.
Yeah, it was moving around. And I couldn't get those to show up in my photographs.
And after that, there was really only, what, there was the Kawamori interview.
Yeah.
Where he said that during the production of episode 27, which we watched today in Blu-ray.
Yes, we did.
Things that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Apparently, during that entire week, Kawamori only got 3 hours of sleep.
And then, I was kind of presuming, I took pictures of the interview, but there's that book coming out which keeps getting delayed, which is based on the 20-hour Kawamori interview.
Right.
Which I was presuming that was from that. So,
I
feel it'll turn up somewhere. So you come out there, and then you're in the goods shop, and the goods shop.
But before the goods shop, there was the projection on the floor.
Yeah.
Of every Macross logo and the main Valkyrie each Macross series.
That's true. They had like a light show.
And it was really nice, except I kept looking at it, and then like children and parents kept walking through, and the children's shadow kept going over it. And they were like, nani kore? And the parents were trying to explain, and I would miss, like, Macross 2.
Right. Well, I mean, it was just such a... it was blocking people from getting out.
Yeah.
It was kind of poorly placed, to be honest. But it was kind of cool. It was kind of neat. And you get out, and then you're in the goods shop, and the goods shop once again had...
The goods shop was huge.
It was. It had Minmay dolls. Minmay dolls.
Not when I was there, they didn't.
And I was sold out.
That's for you. I took a picture of the...
Oh, okay. Okay, so Gwen took a picture of the Macross 2 logo for me.
And I sent it to Adrian, whose ass was still asleep.
Right.
But anyways.
I'm staring at a Minmay plushie right now, which I would have bought, but they didn't have them when I was there, so I ended up with just a Minmay coffee mug, which is fine.
That's a cool coffee mug, though.
I already have two other Macross coffee mugs, but as Gwen said at the time when I bought the Minmay coffee mug, well, I have 3 cups of coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Damn straight.
They were also selling t-shirts with the Macross Frontier cast designed as if they were in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
But that
style. It was the American style.
Comic style.
The American comic style.
It didn't look very American to me.
The thing is,
so
that, that's not
it
a new...
It looked American to me, and I'm more American than you are.
Oh, well, there's
maybe
a challenge.
By a little bit.
Ouch.
There's a challenge.
No, they're drawn. So they're supposed to look like American comic book covers because... Right. They actually have the little comic book logo in the front.
Yeah, they even the little...
Oh, you're right.
And the thing is, that's not a new t-shirt. That was done for the old display for the second movie?
In was that Shibuya. The Mario
The Mario Ichu.
They also had the t-shirt that I'm wearing currently, the Cheryl turquoise t-shirt. But they did not have the shirt that Renato is wearing right now. It's a booby trap.
Oh, that's only ever been available at one event.
That's because this was the 30th anniversary.
The launch ceremony.
Yeah. Right, see, and I would have bought that if they had had that.
I think you can still get that at Tokyo Anime Center.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't get it at the event. I got it from Amazon.
So there you go. You don't have to go to the event.
Okay. I'll look for it.
But I think...
Technically it's limited, but...
Then after we came out of there and bought far too much merch, it was off to the trek to get all the stamps and stuff for the stamp.
Well, before we went for the stamps, we went into the food booth.
Right, there was a hall, apart from the hall with the valve, the second hall was for the little cafe they had set up with parfaits and cosplayers. And cosplayers. But more importantly, they had blank sheets of paper wall size for people to write happy birthday, Ranka.
Yes. Right. At which I drew an Orgus.
Yes, you drew an Orgus. Adrian, bless his heart, drew a Goobaba.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, well, that was the second time. First time you drew the Orgus doing
but
the Kira.
But the art was really...
Yeah, it was the Orgus doing the Kira.
Yeah, the art was really, really good. I was...
Oh, it was amazing. And the first time I went... Well, the first time I went, they had half of a piece of paper on a wall. And I thought that one piece of paper would be full up. And when we went back, it's like, no, there's 3 to 4 walls worth of these sheets of paper. And they're all entirely full.
People.
Right. It's just so much artwork, and a lot of it was really good. Some of it you're like, I can't believe people stood here and drew this. Like, in magic markers. I mean, yeah, this shit was just... That's one of, like, 3 to 4. And I've got more pictures, but there's some great... if you slide that along on the phone, there's some other close-ups I took. But the best one I like, someone put a picture, drew a picture of Minmay, and said, Dear Ichiban Kuji, it's the 30th anniversary, let's have a Minmay figure. I was like, yes, I agree with that sentiment.
Yes.
So, Adrian, were you going to mention something about the hall?
This is yours,
That is Adrian's picture. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Looks more like Hetero, this fog monster, but hey. I tried.
It kind of looks like Sigmund the Sea Monster.
But brown. No. At the end of the exhibit,
right.
You walk through the Kawamori interview, and then they have the logos on the ground.
Yeah.
Did you guys saw the... Like the cloth banners that were hanging with the light?
With the light up behind them, yeah. Well, they're glass, weren't they? I thought they were glass.
I don't know if they're glass or... But it was just... Like each one said like Macross, Macross Plus, Macross 7,
mm-hmm.
Macross Frontier. And then the movie, it was... The movie, Do You Remember Love? The Macross movies and then Macross 2 on the side.
Okay.
But did you notice in the ones that were on the right had two blank...
They did have
areas,
blank ones, yeah.
Like, between different timelines, but they were blank. There was nothing there.
Macross FB7.
So, maybe. I don't know. I mean, either they had those because they needed to cover extra space, or those were actually... Those meant something.
Right.
I don't think it means anything.
But,
anything I see for Macross, if it's left blank... My feeling is it doesn't mean anything.
Blanks are not canon.
Yeah. It won't be filled in later. They have no plans beyond like the next month.
But so yeah, I think look, then we did the stamp rally, got all that stuff.
Yeah.
How did they do this?
Show me. This one alone, okay, we're looking at pictures here from the Ranker wall. This is the only one, if you look at it, it's a separate piece of paper. Someone drew it at home. And brought it in and stuck it on the wall. That's the only one that's the only one there that was like that.
I mean, some of them are really, really good.
That was the best one there. Someone was making, like giving shit to Family Mart because of, Family Mart's in Macross. Like, Family Mart, I'd rather Lawson. It's like, I'd rather 7-Eleven. Like, no, I'd rather Ministop.
Dave Angelion, though.
Yep, but Ministop.
Yeah, Ministop is only Ika Musume.
And this is the thing that got me. This was the food that was supposed to be the orange phone. It looks like a giant meat turd with peas on it. It's like...
But,
turd and pea, great.
Okay, but the drinks were really good.
Yeah, the drinks were good. I got one.
All of us got the Lin Min Mei. Like, we did not work this out beforehand. It's just each of us ordered a Lin Min
Mei. We all wanted the Min Mei coaster. That was it.
Yeah,
and they're not as
because
good.
Each drink came with a coaster for the character.
And they're different coasters to the ones at Nagoya, and they're nowhere near as good quality.
Right. So they had a Min Mei coaster, a Basara coaster, a Ranka coaster, a Cheryl coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
I'd have to have a look at the
menu. I think that was it. So all of us ordered the Min Mei, which was actually pretty good. It was a blueberry drink.
I had the Cheryl.
You had the Cheryl.
That was like a chocolate cookie thing.
Yeah,
it was supposed to come with Oreo, but it came with some other crap cookie.
All right.
And I gave you the coaster, I think.
No.
Those bastards.
Oh. Yeah.
I think I gave you the coaster.
But, yeah, there were a lot of cosplayers there when we went. I think that needs to be stressed. There was a guy dressed as New Orleans Cheryl. No, a guy dressed as Bride Cheryl.
Yeah, no, it was husband Cheryl.
Oh, that's right.
Groom Cheryl. There was a groom Cheryl and Bride Cheryl from The Wings of Farewell.
Right.
Would you call that cross-dressing? I don't even know what you would call that anymore.
But
the guy was dressed as a guy, the girl was dressed as a girl, and they had a Ronka with them also.
Yeah.
A Ronka in tow.
Right, and there were so many Rankas just walking around, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of
so nuts. Actually, we were lucky because we were with, I think, the only Minmay in the whole place.
Right, except then there's the point where Richard got his most favorite photo of the entire...
Oh my god.
I still have to give that photo to him.
I know, I don't have that photo, but orgasming thinking about it
right now. A Ranker and a Cheryl dressed in the high school outfit from the Lion CD single cover, where they're holding hands back to back.
Yes, and the Cheryl totally had the belly for it.
Oh, she did. She'd been working out.
Just not eating. So I took the picture. It was like, Adrian took one picture, and then we were like, okay, another. He took another picture, and then Adrian, being the kind, generous guy he is, said, wait,
I need
to take another picture. And I laughed, and he took that picture at that point.
Yeah.
And then...
almost as good as you and Nanase.
Yeah, so we showed it to Gwyn, and Gwyn said it was the happiest he has ever seen me in my life.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta see that picture. Where is it?
I will pull it up when we're done recording. Okay. But look,
I'll post it on Macross World when we're done recording here.
That's MacrossWorld.com for all those...
MacrossWorld.com, as long as Adrian sends it to me. That's the important part.
So, brief follow-up. And that is something that was mentioned in the most recent issue of New Type Ace, is that Mickey Mottle's got a new artwork book out.
Yeah.
And it's 90% his own original work. Like, there's nothing Macross in it at all. There is a Megazone picture. There's some stuff he did for some card games.
Megazone?
Yeah, there's one Eve picture in there.
Really?
Why?
I don't know.
The DVD came out years ago.
Speak
it
up.
Was artwork that was... it was artwork that was in the Megazone book that came out maybe 5 years ago.
The one with the garland on the cover.
The one where I first met you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the event?
And it was also a promotional poster if you went to the Megazone event. Yeah. If you had advance tickets, you got that poster.
I did not know that. But, and there's a couple of other bits and pieces in there, but it's mostly his original work. But there's this thing where if you bought it at certain bookstores, like I bought mine at K Books, and if you bought it at K Books and you're in the first certain people to buy it there, you got an autograph ticket. And then, like, another bookstore, if you're in the first 100 there, you got an autograph ticket. And so I got my autograph ticket and I went back, and he was just sitting in the middle of the bookstore, but, like, kind of cordoned off by rows of books, and they'll leave people in 10 at a time. And I was, like, 130 or 140 or something. And there were people, like, they said, don't wait in line. We call, like, the next 10 people every 10 minutes or 20 minutes. So come back in a few hours. So I went and just hung out in Akiba. And I came back and then, went up, and I got him to sign the inside cover of the book, and he did the signature, the size of the inside cover of the book, which was kind of awesome. But the thing I loved about it was... Because the release of the book was, A, obviously meant to tie in with the 30th anniversary, and B, back when we went to his art exhibit, he said that once that book was out of the way, there'd been a conversation about doing a collection of his Macross art, a new collection, and he didn't know whether it would happen, but if he got this out the way, then talks could continue on that. So I'm hoping they do something there, but... I mean, the best thing for me was that this time around, he looked up, he actually recognized me, because it's like the third time I've seen him this year. He's like, oh, it's you. I'm like, thank you for coming all the time. I'm like, I'm never going to buy your $5,000 pieces of artwork, but yeah, I'll come for my autograph. But so that was kind of cool. And that was like just a couple of weeks after the Valk. So for me, it was just kind of all, because I bought the book during that Golden Week period. So it all lined up. But next up, as far as 30th anniversary events go, we've got the Music Culture, the
Which no one at Macross World is excited
about.
The
musical, which no one knows what's going on about it. It's supposed to star the two winners of the Idol, the Miss Minmay contest.
Oh,
which,
yes!
Which no one knows how many people entered or who won or what the voting thing was.
Okay. I think the best example of this is I mentioned it to Amanda Jasmine Wells. I said, hey, Gwyn's getting me tickets to the Macross musical. And she said, this was on a Facebook chat. She was like, Macross musical? ? Ha 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 ha! !
What does that mean?
It means that she thinks the idea of a Macross musical is kind of silly.
And yet it makes so much sense.
It kind of does.
It kind of does, kind of doesn't.
But either way, no one knows.
Transforming robots.
The lack of transparency as to what I've paid 7,000 yen to go see is what's kind of annoying me. But either way.
That's why, when I got your text message saying, are you going or not? I don't know what I'm paying for, so no.
I had the opportunity to get a fan club ticket, so I got.
I'm going for it.
Richard, myself, and Adrian.
This is a gamble, really.
We've got them. It's all good. Then after this, as I mentioned in September, well, first of all, is August or September? There's another art exhibition. That was sad and contrived. And then in September, there's the Mega Road 1 launch ceremony, which is going to have Mikadoy at it.
And next year is the 30th anniversary of August.
Yes.
I'm sure there'll be something.
There will be a Blu-ray set for that. Maybe. Probably not.
Start they made this show, come on.
Never.
And then, of course, in November, there's the Firebomber gigs in Tokyo and Osaka.
Yeah.
And then Fukuyama's doing a concert throughout September, which is another one of his tributes to Basara.
Yeah, the same song.
So he's doing... eight different concerts throughout Japan in 1 month. Basically 2 a week in different towns to do Basara songs. And I think, that's the bulk of what we know of what's happening.
Well, there's also the 15th anniversary of Macross Dynamite 7.
But that's... Well, the Firebomber concert's a part of that. But as far as events
go... Yeah, but then there's also Firebomber meets Ozma.
Which isn't an event, I'm sure.
But we don't know what that is, right?
Well, okay.
Radio drama.
No. I think it's probably some short OVA or something. When I was at this event last year, I spoke to a guy from Bandai Visual who said that they want to do something for the 30th anniversary, animation-wise. And they don't know what they're going to do, and one of the ideas on the table is to do some short anime thing involving Ozma and Firebomber somehow.
Okay.
But the idea was that as we've spoken about plenty of times, they didn't know that Frontier was going to be so popular, so they're totally unprepared for this. It's all going to be rushed. And they say, we don't know what we're doing, probably something with Ozma. We don't want to do anything with the main characters anymore, because that story's been told.
Okay, well, let me ask everyone.
If it wasn't OVA, I'd be impressed, because that's a certain amount of length, 2, 3, 4 episodes.
Let me ask everyone.
It's probably just going to be a one-off.
What would you really like to see for the 30th anniversary? Renato.
Clan Clan Porn. Well, you got me there.
Okay, right, Renato is Clan Clan Porn.
The stuff...
Clan Clan Porn?
Zent Clan Clan Porn.
Okay. Gwyn.
Kathy Porn.
Kathy porn. Okay, me. What I want to see is...
Wilder porn. Wait, what?
No.
Icon porn.
What I want to... Oh, Icon porn, yes.
I've seen...
No. Oh, God.
What I would really love is, if they did another Macross the Tribute CD. Mm-hmm. But the idea in my head is, way too crazy for them to actually do.
Kornishi cannot sing. We can't have Ozma singing Bible.
No. I'm thinking, Yoshiki Fukuyama singing Nijiro Kumakuma. I'm thinking Mari Ijima singing Totsugeki Love Heart.
Oh, now we're totally in the
I'm thinking Main singing...
Moichi Don't Love You.
No, I don't know. Zero G Love. Something...
You know, that's the one that I can actually picture.
And then
really?
Megumi singing Holy Lonely Line.
Yes, exactly.
And Bobby singing My Beautiful Place.
No, Bobby singing Santiu. Bobby singing Santiu.
Well,
that's my dream. Okay, Howard.
Well, I have already got my fill of both Zent and Mini Clan.
Everything that the fan can make has already been done.
But
I think the most obvious thing is just a new Macross show. Completely new characters, a completely new class of Macross ship.
That's not going to happen for the 30th anniversary, though.
It's been 5 years since the last one. So
But 35th anniversary, they might be able to do
because,
that.
Because Frontier didn't really come out till the 27th anniversary.
Right.
It's
Frontier finally ended last year.
A new series now. That's what I want, is an announcement that they're going to start production of a totally new Macross show with a new class of Macross, a new class of Valkyrie, and completely new characters.
What if they did Macross the Ride? What if they did Macross the Ride? Would that
satisfy you?
I'd like that, yeah.
I'd like Seven Trash, I'm sorry.
Well, I'd like something totally new more.
Actually, no,
Macross the Ride is totally new.
Is any good?
Well, it's a lot of older Valkyries with different paint jobs. I want a ground-up, brand-new Valkyrie.
Well, okay.
What about the staff?
I wouldn't mind if they changed some people around.
Yeah. See,
designed by Clamp, right?
I want the original staff. I want Kawamori. If they can get Itano, I want Itano. If they can get Mikimoto, I want Mikimoto. If Kawamori is not interested, then I say, screw it.
That's never going to happen, because he's like the general overall director of
exactly. All no, so projects. This is my
down
point.
Down to figure design for UFO captures.
On Macross World, people were saying, one person was saying, what about when Kawamori retires, or if he, God forbid, dies? Who comes next? For me, my feeling is, if that happens, I want them to retire Macross. I don't want this to be an in perpetua thing.
How strong was that bourbon you drank? Because, seriously.
No, but I can kind of see his point. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on the whole thing. I don't really have any idea, because I think that Macross was the original show.
Mm.
And everything after that is kind of derivative of whatever Kawamori wanted to do.
Right.
And so it is really his own thing, but it's also just him, really, putting the Macross label on whatever he feels like doing,
right,
just so it can actually be produced, you know?
And they're in a huge, huge bind for whatever the next thing is, because Kanoh will not come back for another soundtrack. She's on two Macrosses now. She said she's done with Frontier. She's
really?
The Christmas event, the Very Happy Christmas Without You,
which was great.
It was the last Macross thing she said she would be involved with.
Wow.
That was
I've heard a lot about this kind of, this is the last thing,
either way, you can't have, it'd be too samey if you have the same, the thing is, it's time for a new composer, but the newer demographic that's been brought on board by Frontier now, they expect a certain amount of character drama. They're not used to the balance of the three elements of Macross. You know, they expect this kind of character design, this kind of fashion, this kind of music.
And the love story will
take precedence. I think Big West is stepping very carefully because they want to keep as much of this audience as they can. And yet, how do you follow up on that when Kawamori will not follow up on things anymore? Like, he does not want to continue characters or story arcs or anything. So, I think they're in the toughest position they've ever... Big West is in the toughest position they've ever been in at the moment.
Well, I don't their know about success, ever. I mean...
No, their
remember Gandala?
Their
see, you don't wait. See, that's why.
Their success.
Remember what? Gandala. Wait. Explain.
That's Gandala the theme song was... for Monkey Magic.
Gandala. No, well, yes, but Gandala was a show from, 1998, 99, I want to say. No, 1997 or so. It had original designs by Mikimoto, or at least he did some illustrations for it, and it was a Big West sanctioned show. The idea was that Big West wanted to recreate
the success of Macross because it had failed up until that point. Well, I mean, they had
they
plus
hadn't
and zero.
Recaptured the lightning.
They had plus and seven, but they were basically in the same position.
Really popular,
they were basically in the same position that you were describing just now. They knew that they couldn't bank everything on just Kawamori, mm-hmm. right? And August 2 didn't do so well.
Right.
Or Macross 2 didn't do so well.
Right.
And
that's not what I've read.
It did well in the US for the first two volumes.
No. There,
and Big Howard's
been on the search for this one magazine that came out a few years ago.
One magazine.
When Frontier came out, there was this music magazine that talked about Frontier.
What's it called?
I don't remember. I picked it up. And a friend of mine translated it to me at the time when I was looking through it. Because I'm like, what's this say about Macross 2? And the book was saying that Macross 2 was a financial success, that they didn't continue with it, but with that money they went on to do 7 and plus.
But how does that explain the drop budget in the latter episodes?
This is what I heard. I don't know. I've never heard this corroborated. I heard that it was going to be cancelled after the fourth episode, and they decided to keep going just because of the American market. The American reception was better than it was in Japan.
That's what I heard too.
But I don't know if it was the same source or not. It needs to be corroborated by another
source. This book that was published at the height of Frontier stated that 2 was successful enough to fuel the following two Macross projects.
Okay, my rebuttal to that is the fifth volume of the Macross 2 novel series, where the afterword in it has the author, Sukihiro Tomita.
Basically saying, oh well.
Yeah, no. Sukihiro Tomita. He was one of the main scriptwriters for the original Macross series.
He wrote Do You Remember Love.
He wrote Do You Remember Love. He wrote Macross 2. And he was the chief scriptwriter and script supervisor for Macross 7.
Yeah.
And so, the fifth Macross 2 novel, which tells a story which is not in the OVA. It's about a...
the Micron conspiracy.
No, it's not about the Micron conspiracy. It's about Black Panda, which is a Chinese mafia group that Hibiki investigates.
It's the one that the predecessor to Kenshiro was working for, right?
Not quite. It's Minmay's grandson.
Oh, boy.
Minmay's grandson, supposed grandson, is working for Black Panda.
I'd like to say you couldn't make this shit up, but somebody had to have done it.
Tomita did.
Yeah.
Sukihiro Tomita did. And in the afterword for the fifth book, he says, "Thank you for following Macross 2. From now on, this timeline is going to be ignored. We're creating a new series called Macross 7, so please enjoy it."
Not really a rebuttal.
No, yeah, it doesn't
that
really.
That just tells me that he followed through with something and said, "We now bring you Macross 7 with the money we made making this."
Okay.
Just like we can say, you know, here's the new Aquarian based on the money we made, or here's AKB-0048 with all the money we made from Frontier. Right.
Yeah, but the Aquarian. Alright, never mind. Just getting into.
I still haven't watched the original Aquarian. I've been meaning to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
It's a good show.
Okay.
It actually expands a lot on the original.
Expand. Okay.
So it actually tells more about the past, what happened originally, what Genfudo actually is.
But Richard's saying he hasn't seen the original.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Start from there.
Okay. Thank you. I shall. I'm still trying
to
catch up.
Okay, so Gandala was supposed to be... basically, another Macross. It was about a group of guys who sing songs and battle evil guys. That didn't really take off anywhere, and I haven't seen it on DVD or anything.
Was it aired? Or?
Yes, it was. It was a TV show. 13 episodes, I think.
Only
I'll take
13?
A look.
So it exists.
Probably can't. It exists, yeah. You can buy a poster of it at the Nakano poster shop.
Can you buy
a DVD with Nikimoto artwork on it? I was going to buy it.
I'll have to look for that.
Why didn't you go and buy the videos the other day at Sunrise?
I didn't even see it there.
They didn't have it?
So,
it probably never even came out on DVD.
Renato, do you have anything from High Speed Jesse?
No.
Really?
No.
You disappoint me.
Yeah, I know.
High speed.
I disappointed myself.
High speed Jesse.
Yeah, it's about as high quality as Salamander.
But Mickey Mono did the designs for High Speed Jesse.
Mickey Mono did the designs for Salamander.
That's true. That's true, too.
Anyways. So, I think that's all the 30th anniversary events we know of, guys. So, let's take another quick break.
Wow, you know, the last few references were really much more exciting than any of the 30th anniversary events.
So, we'll be back after a quick break.
Says you.
All right.
After a quick break, minus Renato, to wrap things up. Means we're back, and Renato, I believe we're going to mention a couple of final topics to wrap things up. There seems to be a bit of a shortage of Valks recently. It's because you broke them all.
No. So, I don't know how many of you are toy people. Very few, I suspect. I mean, Adrian...
I'm a living toy myself, yeah.
Hey, maybe we should make like special bumpers and jingles for the different sections, and we should call this one Toys, 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 I'm looking for a good time. And I knew that...
Thank you, Sabrina.
I knew that Richard would be the only one to laugh at that. Okay, so...
No, what we do is record the sound of somebody transforming a Valkyrie and then a big snap.
But that's not...
We don't have to! I can turn around to this mountain of YF-29s right here.
Message.
But anyways. Alright, so ever since the YF-29, there's been a shortage of Bandai Valkyries. They've been producing them in limited numbers. And people are increasingly going through hell trying to order these things. It's like... There's not enough pre-orders, or stores are selling too many pre-orders, respective of how many items they actually get in stock. Right. So, recently there's been this shop that's called iShop2Go.com.
Oh, yeah.
And the fiasco was that, apparently, this is what I heard, I don't know, I'm not one of the people who ordered, but...
Wait, you're not buying any of these Bandai Valks?
Well, I stopped buying Bandai Valks after all of them just totally turned to... Not dust, but losing... No.
Okay.
I don't know. I might get the 171 EX, but as I'm going to explain, it's going to be impossible to get. Why? Because there's a shortage, and Bandai is really, really, I think, being careful not to overstock... Not to keep too much on shelves. Yeah, they want to sell every single one that they produce.
Okay.
And in the past, they've tried to do this by going the exclusive route. And, you know, they were infamous, and they got a lot of complaints from Macross World members for everything being a Web Tamashii exclusive.
Right.
They made the original Alto Pax exclusive. They made... the fold booster exclusive. They made the little speaker things that go on the
Gallia Force.
The Gallia Force exclusive. They made a bunch of stuff exclusive that shouldn't have been exclusive in the first place, and then they re-released them afterwards as a Mars Marker item. But anyway, from their version 2 1/60th scale Chogokin Valkyries, it seems like their production run has really, really been minimized. And they're just trying to sell all of the ones that they produce.
Mm.
Now, I don't know the specific runs, but it must be a fraction of whatever the original versions were. Yeah, and these shops, in particular iShop2Go, they're taking like 200 pre-orders.
Right.
And then cancelling 195 and saying, we're only going to get 5.
Yeah, it seems to be that the shops aren't aware of the situation.
All right, well, you got two things wrong. One, okay. A shop like iShop2Go, are they based in Japan?
No.
Did they sell it?
In Hong Kong.
Okay. Did they sell it at the pre-sale, the pre-order price that AmiAmi sells it at, that Hobby Stock Japan sells it at, or did they sell it at above retail
but took pre-orders for it.
I don't know.
So if they didn't if they didn't offer it at the actual Japanese pre-order price, which should have been about $1,500. Oh, thank you. So if they didn't offer it at Ichiman, like Ichiman Gosen, Ichiman Roksen, then they didn't have channels to get it at a wholesale distributor's price.
So you're implying...
So they have their way of getting stock through somebody living in Japan the same way I do it.
I get it.
But they're okay. doing it on a way bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not based in Japan, so they don't see how it's fluctuating here.
So there's no way that they could ever get 200.
Yeah. There would have been no way they could have got 200.
How many do you think Bandai actually produces?
I don't know that number because I didn't really get into Valx. We didn't really sell Valx before. We just sold the actual... You know,
and it's a new situation, really, because
you have to base it on when Frontier first came out. That first version, it was all regular retail stores, and there was a lot of them.
Yeah,
because Frontier
big
was
camera. That, it was Yodobashi camera. It was
now it, that was at the height of Frontier.
Yeah,
but since then, even the toy shops are scaling back on their toy like areas.
Yeah,
and they're not really carrying anything. Yep. Other than hero stuff, and just kind of, you know, Precure and just the standard kids' toys now.
Yes.
Big camera. Yodobashi camera is the only one that's still carrying the common, like the most recent mecha stuff.
Yeah, barely.
Action figures. But that's Akihabara and the, was it Umeda? Those, that's two in Japan that I know of that carry that kind of stock. There's no more mom-and-pop shops that buy that many, that are even available. Sorry. The mom-and-pop shops don't even exist anymore, really.
Mm-hmm. They're all closing down. Yeah,
they're all closing down. They're not carrying anything new. They're still trying to sell stuff from the 90s that they've had in stock. So the reason why Tomashi exclusives exist is because if they didn't do the exclusive stuff online, Bandai would never move that product. Because they can't reach the customers.
Right. Now, this goes back to the original point, though. Why is Bandai technically advertising these latest releases, like the DX25 version 2s and the upcoming 171, as mass-market items, when they're in reality even more limited than their web-limited exclusive items?
Well, because they are getting sent all over Japan in less numbers. So it is still being mass produced for the available like retailers in Japan. But most people that are buying anything that are selling online, they're all getting it within Tokyo. So Tokyo is being sold out. But if you go further out, I don't mean just go to Chiba. I mean you have to go further out. You may run into shops that still have them. So... Yeah, Tokyo is going to sell out. Osaka is going to sell out.
It seems like this is not indicative of Bandai's strategy as a company, more indicative of the market itself just shrinking. The market for adult collectibles, especially robot toys, is not what it used to be even 5 years ago.
Yeah. And also specifically for the market of Macross toys. Because Bandai has already gotten burned multiple times for like their 155th scale toys, which weren't just re-releases, but completely new molds. They manufactured in large quantities, and they're still on the shelves now.
Hmm.
So Bandai does not want that to happen again.
Okay. But you can kind of see where they would go wrong there, in terms of strategy, though. Those were toys that everybody who... wanted them, already had them.
Well, then,
you know? And they were in competition with Yamato's toys at the time.
Well, a better example would be the 160th scale version 1s. Those were mass-produced in large quantities, and you can still find them in various stores.
Yeah. And those were in high demand when they came out, because those were the only versions of the BF-25s in toy form that you could get. That weren't pieces of shit that would fall apart.
So it seems
to me
Bandai...
100
scale glasses.
Yeah, the current difficulty in finding their mass market version 2 releases is because Bandai learned what they did wrong. They made too many before.
Well, no, it's also that few people are willing to double dip, you know? People who already had one and really don't care that it's redesigned and looks better now aren't going to spend even more money.
Right.
It's more expensive than the original, right?
Well, I guess that the actual number of version 2s produced and that there's demand for is less than the version 1s.
Yeah, no one's disputing that.
All right.
It's clearly less.
Now, you were saying that online they're saying, iShop2Go?
Yes.
Pre-sold 229s. Right?
Apparently
they sold 229.
That's what they said in the email they sent out to people.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means they're getting more 29s than Yodobashi Camera.
Yeah.
That's not possible. And if 200 overseas fans are ordering it, that's more Mecha fans that probably showed up to Yodobashi the day it was released. So the numbers match the amount of people that actually buy it in Japan. It's right. There's not enough for the people who live outside of Japan.
Right. Yeah. So there's two points I'd like to make, if I may. Not coming from an insider perspective like you, Adrian, of course, because I know you deal with this for the business. But, I mean, first of all, I think with both the renewals and then subsequently from the 29, like it hit this popularity boom. And the demand skyrocketed, and so secondhand those were going for crazy prices, like 3-4 man. And the scalpers got involved. And the thing is, the scalpers are not picky. Like the people who are buying these things up to put them on auction. I mean, I cannot see that there is anywhere near the demand within Japan for the 171 as there is for the 29. But that doesn't make any difference to the people buying them up as quick as they can to put them on auction. They're like, well, the last model did well. They're not thinking, well, this hasn't been in an animated form anywhere near as recently as the 29. And then the same thing happened again for the 25G. I can't see where the demand for the 25G is coming. I mean, some hardcore fans will rebuy it. Some regular fans will rebuy it. But why did that sell out on pre-order? It's all the scalpers. And then this brings it back around to, as you're saying, Adrian, they're making enough for the market within Japan. That's before the scalper factor. But then people on the boards and people outside Japan are like, what's Bandai thinking? Why are they content with this? Well, they're content because they're making numbers that are sufficient for their market in Japan, and they're selling. They don't care who they sell them to. As far as everyone outside of Japan, I'm sorry, but big fat finger to all use, because Bandai does not care. That's not part of their business model, their business strategy. They don't care what foreign fans think. These are not being legitimately released outside of Japan, so they don't care, because technically, the export business for them is kind of a grey area anyway. But I'm just...
I can see... No, I can certainly see the problem. But I can also see...
I can see where the frustration's coming from.
I can also see a retort from, people on the boards as well, who are in areas, in those grey areas, where they can't technically target them.
Oh, I can see where the frustration's coming from.
They can say that... But clearly, the numbers show that there is a lot of demand outside. I mean, they clear... iShop2Go, 200 orders right there, immediately, filled up.
Right.
Okay, that is a source of market research, and therefore Bandai should go for those.
Oh,
yeah. Is what those people...
No, I can completely understand the frustration. I'm just saying, it's not like, Bandai is... It's not like they're doing it on purpose, it's just that they only care about the local market, much like the Blu-ray market, the DVD market.
Yeah.
It's the same reason that
The Blu-ray doesn't have subtitles.
Yeah. The Blu-ray doesn't have subtitles, all that kind of off-topic, but the Gunbuster first, they released Gunbuster on Blu-ray recently. The first pressing of that, I thought, I'll pick that up eventually. It's 1.1 month. It's doubled in price.
Has it? Yeah, it's doubled
in price secondhand, because they didn't make enough of those. I think, once again, they probably aimed for the local market, and that title had a certain amount of people outside of Japan, and a lot of people ordered it online. So it's a similar thing.
I cancelled my order.
So did I. Because I was like, I need money for the TV box set, and Do You Remember Love? And I'm like, this can wait. I thought, it's Gunbuster, who's going to buy it? Well, apparently everyone.
Yeah.
So it's a similar thing. The thing is, you just have to remember, these companies are not looking at what the overseas sales are. There's no central way for them to get figures on this stuff either. They price and manufacture based on the local market, the way they always have. Yeah. It's a shame, but what can you do?
Yeah,
plus,
Sorry, go ahead.
The 24, was it 25G?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not, just because it was put up on AmiAmi, HobbyLink Japan, or Amazon, doesn't mean the orders are sold out. That just means the online shops are sold out. The distributors are still faxing order forms to the local shops that do still order this stuff. So they're still reserving product, but you have to be able to, you have to know where the store is. You have to go get it at the store. These stores don't have the internet. They don't have web shops. They're just still shops that are functioning.
Hmm.
So the order, they're still available for orders through certain shops, if you know of these shops.
Mm-hmm. But you have to physically go there.
But you have to physically go there. So,
what's all this behind me?
You want to count those?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's one missing.
There's one in the box. Yeah, we've got a bunch of 29s lying around. This is the point.
Yes. Yeah, why have 29s everywhere?
In this room.
In this apartment.
And hopefully
which is
the same
kind of awesome.
Hopefully the same for the 171s.
Don't you want a whole bunch of 29s in your room?
Well, I mean, we don't know what to do with them. Like, we use them for doorstops and coasters. They're just kind of underfoot.
I was going Kune line earlier.
Well, the thing is, this way we can have one in each mode, and then one in each mode with the armor packs.
No, you can't, because you had to have ordered those, and those aren't available for order anymore.
Well, so we got a couple over there.
Oh.
No, I only have one of those.
Nine sets of armors as well.
But
I was thinking we should recreate the scene at the end of the movie where it just crashes into a pile of garbage. And
that would be that's a great idea.
Right? I mean, we're on the fourth floor.
We can go a balcony right there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, just sky tree. Just do a Willow blend with the 29
from the sky tree, 634 meters.
Yeah,
in the sky.
But do we want to move on then? So I think we've covered the Bandai issue.
Well, I was going to say Yamato has not gone down that route so far, but it seems to be edging that way.
Really? Where do you get that from?
Because they made extremely limited amounts of the VF1D, and they're going to... I don't remember. Have they re-released the VF1J and stuff already? Anyway, I ordered the VF1D. With the reissue with the special parts, like the seat and stuff. The pre-order was 7,000. I got it for that. 7,000 something. And the next day, after it arrived, it was sold out. And then you look at some of the prices online, and they're double the price, 14,000. And it keeps going up. So afterwards, Yamato announced that they were going to have an exclusive build-your-own VF1D kit. You know, like they've done for some of the other Valkyries.
So basically, you get it, and it's already broken.
It's already broken. Which isn't different from any of the other Valkyries. Oh, like, so, yeah, I mean, the difference is that this one's molded in color.
Okay.
Which is good or bad, depending on your program. Anyway, I'm interested to see the numbers that they're producing these in.
Hmm.
It's clearly lower, but I want to know how much lower. That's probably confidential information. I don't know. I have a meeting with Yamato next week.
Which is why we won't put this podcast up until after that meeting. But yes.
No, we won't put the podcast up until after that meeting for other reasons, right? Anyway, yeah, it's funny because I was emailing them, and just after sending an email, I bumped into the guide, Yanagisawa-san.
Okay.
The one with the long hair.
Yeah.
On the street. And I was like, I just sent you an email. And he's like, oh, great. I guess I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have an appointment.
Yeah. And it's only because I met him on the street. Otherwise, my emails would have gone unnoticed, as they have done. Always. Always. When I meet them, they're really nice guys. I email them.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, I'll be curious as to what quantity they're doing the four in.
The VF4. Because well, they're going to meet orders, right?
That's going to be made to order.
Made to order, so...
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of as niche as niche can be.
It's either going to be done made to order or as many as they can produce at a certain time. Because even the Gerwalk, right? The 160 Gerwalk, you could only order up to the amount they can make and produce within 3 months. And then they would open the door up again.
I don't know what you're talking about. The 160 Gerwalk?
Ah, I'm sorry. Not Gerwalk. The, what the fuck is that thing called?
I don't know.
Regal.
Oh.
The Regal.
Yeah, because, I wanted one of them.
You, there was a, they couldn't produce enough even for the amount of people that wanted them. Hmm. So,
fair enough.
What about Britai?
Yeah, when is Britai
coming? Oh, the Sotheby's Britai. Yeah. Really, who wants it?
They'll be done when they're finished finally making Basso's guitar.
What about the Spartan? What about the Phalanx? What about any of this stuff?
But, yeah, the 4 will be an interesting case, I think.
Just, I think Yamato should make a VF1J from Macross the First in 148 scale.
With the head?
With that the head. Head? Yeah. That's not me saying, that's MacrossWorld.com saying. It's a new thread. No, it's an old thread revived after 3 years.
I think they should make the Alaska Bay's version.
Can we put porn decals on it?
No, they're not. That was just a kind of a placement holder. It was like, here's what we can do if we felt like it.
Really?
The Alaska-based one? What was that next?
They're not actually decided to make... It's the same as the 19P.
Okay.
The VF-19P was there, but it was Sankoshutten.
Okay.
Which means... This is for reference.
This is, yeah, okay. FYI.
Okay.
For your information. And yeah, so the Alaska base is... And it's funny, because they had like almost a teaser poster.
Yeah,
it said, wouldn't you like to complete the whole thing?
Right.
And everyone was like, well, yeah, we would. Are you making it? No.
Don't you remember...
Love?
Do you remember your credit card?
When are they going to make Space Gundam V?
Well, we need manufacturing Korea to do that.
Somebody did. Right. Somebody made a...
Yeah, I saw the model kit of that. That was pretty awesome.
So,
which made me turn to YouTube and to watch that episode with the giant rat again.
Oh, that was, and they were so prolonged, drawn out, that bloody battle. Like. Anyway, shall we move on to the Blu-ray box briefly before wrapping things up?
Yay!
So, the Blu-ray box for the TV set is out. The Do You Remember Love Blu-ray doesn't drop until July. And then, of course, at some unspecified point within the year, will be the Macross 7 box set, which we don't know what's going to be included.
And probably everything else.
Not within the year, I wouldn't think. But they've announced that 7's coming.
Yeah, but Plus is going to come.
Oh, it will come. I mean, you know, they will all come eventually. I just, not within the year.
Macross 0 is already available.
Macross 2. That's the one I...
So you... maybe not. Maybe not Macross 2.
That was a troll fail right there.
But
yeah, so the box set is out.
I remember the so forgettable thing that I wanted to say.
The box is out, and we sat down for this podcast and rewatched episode 27 from the remaster and the pachinko footage.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in getting everyone's opinions of the remaster. Like what you thought of the
27. I thought it looked a little too much like the Animego Masters, in that the colors were very bright.
So you wanted a Gundam version?
I wanted a toned-down version. I like the Bandai DVD version from, like, 4 years ago.
HD remaster.
The HD remaster version. That one, for me, that's like the ultimate Macross. The Blu-ray, it was really good. We could see... a lot of the animation mistakes.
We also got to see the drummer's afro.
Yes, we got to see the drummer's afro.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, but I'm not sure it's 50,000 yen.
All right, good. That's fair enough.
What about 5,000 yen?
34,000.
5,000 yen? Hell yeah.
The collector's set is 47,000.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the recommended retail price. Holy 47,000. And a pre-order would knock it down to 35,000.
It's not 35,000.
I cancelled my orders.
But
unless you were going for the storyboard book,
yes.
That was pretty amazing. The storyboard book was pretty incredible, and I would buy that on its own.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
Oh, absolutely. I would have done as well. I mean, that was the main reason why I had it on pre-order.
Had?
Yeah, I cancelled it because I just couldn't... You know, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I had it for that 34,000 price.
Right. I mean, Renato, so, I mean, quality-wise, what was your take on the picture?
I thought it was good. I don't know why it wasn't as clear as I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, though.
Well, I mean, there was a certain amount of grain to it.
There was grain, yeah.
You know, there was grain, especially in movement, but in still scenes, and especially scenes of Mecha, there was less grain. Like, right. Well, in still shots, it was really, really clear, I thought.
maybe. Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's not one of the things I would buy anyway, just because I really can't sit down and watch that show anymore.
You know? So Renato will no longer be joining us on Macross Speaker Podcast. Tune in with us next week. No.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, so I don't know. It's like I have lots of shows on DVD and I just don't watch them anymore. Right. They're just kind of there.
But that's like Frasier and shit, right?
I don't have Frasier on DVD.
Really?
I have Seinfeld on DVD. I watch that though.
Okay.
So have, wait. You're saying you'll buy Seinfeld but not Macross?
I would buy Seinfeld, but not Macross.
Right. Starting next week, the Seinfeld podcast, starring Renato and Renato. the Scott Pilgrim homage, where they do the Seinfeld homage in Scott Pilgrim.
I haven't seen that movie.
Anyway.
Wasn't it banned in this country?
No, it got released.
It was like a year and a half late.
Okay.
Adrian, any impressions on it, or...? Once again, we
talk. You can talk about the Anno Hideaki one single cell.
I'm not going to go into that.
No, please go into.
Yeah, I mean that's what we have for.
One single cell.
Yeah,
that Anno drew. There was Shinji on the spot, right?
Shit. I'm not getting into that.
Okay.
Anyway,
I admit it was.
Honestly, I'm just a believer that HD or high definition. Old animation, especially TV series, is a waste of your money.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's Richard clapping, by the way.
Yeah, that's clapping.
Yeah.
It's not like Gwyn. Well, he's the one who bought it.
Yeah, but he didn't pay that price.
Yeah, no. This is a question. Would you have paid that price?
No.
Okay.
I don't have that much to spare.
For the record. There we go.
I got a deal, so.
Because, yes, they can clean up the footage, but... It's not digital work, so it's never going to look clear. You're always going to have the acetone layers and all any kind of, you know.
I like that, though.
That's the thing. I like it.
I want to see the texture, yeah?
I want to be reminded this was made from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You
know? I don't want an old videotape that's been watched a million and a half times. Yeah. And the reds are pink and the blues are, like, everything's blurry.
Right.
But... To pay that amount...
You don't want an old videotape that's been watched 100 million times, right?
There are exceptions!
Renato, for the record, just popped a VHS cover of Super Space Fortress Macross.
Also known as Clash of the Bionoids.
Also known as Chet Jockey in action.
Known as You Can Still Fight When You're Drunk.
And podcast.
But it's just... My whole thing is whether... it just depends on the... I'm not talking about remastering Do You Remember Love, because that's an animated feature with a higher budget. I'm talking a television series that has, you know, peaks and valleys, and mostly valleys, of bad quality animation. So putting that much money into a box set, unless you're that big of a maniac and you have to have it, you can get by with just getting...
The DVDs.
You can get by having the original DVDs.
Having said that, in Japan, the original DVDs were not as cheap as the current Blu-rays if you bought them new.
Yeah.
For starters. And,
they're cheaper now if you get them at Book Off.
They're not still not that cheap, too.
They're not that cheap.
You're still looking
cheap
at...
enough that I could afford them, which says a lot.
Well, there's what, two box... Is it two box sets for the DVD?
No, for the original series, it's one set.
One. The HD remaster one, right?
Yeah.
And how much? I've seen it for like 3 months.
It's going down.
Well, now.
Yeah, I got it for two.
Yeah, but the 20, average... People that are listening to this podcast don't have the option of going to a Book Off...
Yeah, exactly.
...and
yeah.
getting Mikimoto art books for 100 yen.
Right.
But everyone's just downloading them, right?
Right.
So, okay, not everyone, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, look... My take on this is, as a general rule, I do agree with you guys. Older shows, there's not much point on Blu-ray. For me, there's two exceptions to that. There's a handful of titles that I will buy, I'll double dip, I'll triple dip. One is Macross, like one is Escafrone, and I think another one would probably have to be Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, which the Blu-ray boxes are out, but that's Japan only still, and they're ridiculously expensive. Apart from that, anything that I didn't own on last gen media that I've always wanted to own, if it's out now on Blu-ray, well then, I'd never owned Bubblegum Crisis on DVD. I had it on VHS, but I didn't have DVD. So when the Bubblegum Crisis box set came out, I grabbed it. Well, actually, technically, it was a present, but I've got it one way or the other. Okay. And that's why I wanted Gunbuster.
That negates everything you just said.
Yeah, I know. Because I didn't have Gunbuster.
If I had the option of getting it as a present, then I would take that option.
Shut up. Right. I didn't have Gunbuster on DVD either, so I wanted to get it, and now I've waited too long.
Yeah.
But it was a present.
But for something that old, which is it's going to be the definitive version, as something I don't own on DVD, I don't mind considering getting it. But as a general rule, for movies and anime, I agree. DVD, a good remastered DVD.
There's not that much difference. I wish you hadn't told me that about Gunbuster now.
I was really depressed when I heard about it. I was like,
because I didn't see it on DVD. The last time I watched it was about 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, same
when
here.
I had the VHS.
Yeah. But anyways, and then the other thing we watched, of course, finally was the pachinko footage.
Yeah.
No. The final thing that we watched was something else, if you remember.
Was episode 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched episode
11. Before that, yeah.
Before that, we watched the pachinko footage. And
before that, we watched the pachinko footage, and I am thinking that we are in the wrong line of business. We need to do a Mystery Science Theater riff tracks version of the pachinko footage because we were hilarious.
We would recommend ourselves to
him. Yes, I would totally recommend
himself to you.
I not only recommend myself, I recommend all of you too.
I don't recommend myself.
What I thought was funny is, was it 10 seconds into the pachinko footage, Renato belts out, "This looks better on YouTube."
Yes, and he was totally right.
I would have to agree.
But the reason being?
Because Totoro has his whole theater set up in his room, his TV is surround, he brings out all the perfect CG models too well.
Mm. Yeah, they're not perfect, basically.
Yeah.
It the opening looked pretty bad on Toshiro's awesome setup.
Well, I mean, it just, no, the CG was more noticeably cel-shaded CG. That's all.
But again, it was
it's how it's supposed to look.
Yeah, it's for a pachinko game, so.
Yeah
you're supposed to see it on a 6-inch screen.
But you know, and then there was the fact that this footage is obviously pachinko or not, made by a lot of people who have a lot of love for the series, and are just, it's like one of those Marvel What If comics, like, you know, What If Wolverine was Lord of the Vampires or whatever. They do like one shots because they mix stuff up.
Was basically What If.
Well, this is another version. I mean, they mix stuff up.
What's canon? What's canon? What we got? I don't know. What's canon?
Well, this podcast is now canon, since you said it. But, you know, like, they had the Xiao Pai Long with
Hikaru instead fighting. Of Kaifun.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
watching the that? Movie with Min Mei.
Right.
I mean, that came out totally out of the blue.
Right. Yeah, that surprised me, too.
Yeah, but that footage also has to interact with the pachinko game.
Right.
So it's not based on what we saw. It's based on
the
actions of the player.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is they've worked them into film clips, but originally it was like, okay, this is an escape sequence. It could continue indefinitely if you don't go well, or it could end in a bonus, in which case there's an explosion here, but if you've gone further for a bigger bonus, you need another ending.
So
how do you
like
chain
the,
these?
It's
you know?
Like the Evangelion pachinko games where
maybe
Kaoru is in the Eva Unit 4. Where it's like you see him piloting the Unit 4, which he never did in the series.
Right. So that's what, I mean, there's a whole lot of, but you get the feeling more than with Eva, that for the Macross footage, the guys who were involved making it were just having a lot of fun. You can feel that they were fans. Because there are homages to, like, you know, pictures from art books.
Yeah.
Like Valkyrie's kissing and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
it's just
right,
like,
right.
Well, only fans would know this.
Yeah, no, there was some stuff from Macross Perfect Memory that they just kind of threw in there for, like, no reason other than...
And for, like, half a second
they liked
as well.
It.
Right.
Yeah, and you pointed out Kalamori, and then...
Yeah, no, Kalamori appears.
And Ranka.
And Ranka
appears.
Like, is it canon? How's it canon? What other canon?
Oh, hey, Ranka was alive, didn't you
Well,
notice?
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Flower Girl exists in Macross Classic, then Ranka can exist at the original Miss Macross contest.
But the Flower Girl is the Flower Girl.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's like Sadako, just with less hair. She's eternal. Now you're imagining Chie with a flower girl outfit, aren't you? You know it. Yeah. And on that
note...
Oh,
man, that's hot.
On that note, I think we better wrap this up, guys. We've already got content for the next two podcasts in the works. Wow. Yes, we do.
Wow.
So, please.
Rich, we're awesome. You don't want to summarize the reactions to Macross the First, the new chapter?
The porn?
Oh, well, yeah, the
Age
latest
was something
the latest issue of Macross the First came out, and, okay, spoiler alert, Boldoza talks to Laplamez, who is now Laplamez 7915.
They just threw numbers onto everyone.
Right. And says that, okay, bombshell number one, he says... We're interested in this planet because there was a Vajra Queen type fold reaction discovered there. There's a footnote that says, yeah, the Vajra fold queen type fold reaction was the bird human leaving.
At the end of Macross Zero.
And then he shows Laplamez a whole bunch of pictures from Earth. And one of them is porn.
Right.
And this is
actual.
This is straight up porn.
Actual porn, like the girl is bent over, the guy's behind her, doggy style.
That's not. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obvious. Mikimoto's gone into his personal collection.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Picked a frame, and he's like, I like the angle in his face. And then. You know, kind of shaded it.
Okay, so Renato's reaction when he saw the Vajra Queen type fold reaction was he was reading the magazine, and then he just said, wait, what? And that was it. And then his reaction with the porn was, wait, what was it?
I don't know.
Damn. It's lost time.
I guess that's the porn that you were talking about, or something like that.
Right, something like that, yeah. Like, oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
I don't know, I just call it sexual intercourse. I didn't see a frame of Ron Jeremy giving it to somebody, so
but
I wouldn't call it porn.
They didn't show the face of the guy. That's, it could be. Maybe he's worked out. Maybe
it would be porn. It would be porn if it was mosaic.
Yeah.
So, it was just intercourse between two people.
Right.
But either way, they showed... A shaded picture of it. Like, it just in context, it was shocking because A, suddenly it was just like bam in your face, but more than that, because the first reaction is like, well, geez, I suppose kissing in front of him is not going to do anything now because you've been watching people both.
Right, so what are you going to do? Yeah,
right, exactly.
No,
but
so even in one of the Robotech.
Hi, Rick.
Robotech.
Oh, Rick.
Novels. They said, hey, imagine if we'd shown porn to them. They would have gone crazy. Not anymore.
Yeah. Right, but the thing is, then Mikimoto, and he's done a lot of really good twists in recent installments. It's just like, oh, they're even practicing hand-to-hand combat together.
Right,
right.
That's the reaction. Joke. And yeah, that's right. So he plays it for laughs, and therefore they don't know what they're looking at, so it negates the impact of it, so the kiss will still have an impact.
At the same time, I'm getting a little nervous about Macross the First, because...
It's too awesome.
It is too awesome, but Mikimoto, let's just say he's not great at tight plotting.
No.
Macross 7 Trash went on for about 3 volumes too long.
Yeah.
Marionette Generation had no plot whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even Baby Birth, which he didn't even plot, he managed to infect and make... plotless. I'm worried that Macross the First.
He worked with Sukihiro Tomita on that, didn't he?
No. Yeah. Wait, was it Tomita? Yeah, it was Tomita.
I think so.
Yes, it was.
See, I think
he was the one who actually wrote the story.
Wrote the story.
Yeah.
With regards to the first, the devil's in the details. I share your concern with where they're going because the pacing seems all over the place.
Right.
I mean, in the last 3 installments, we've gotten one that is a meeting all about the development of fast packs. And
right.
Another of this, a briefing.
Whereas the first two volumes were very tightly plotted.
Right.
Yeah.
Each volume covered about 3 episodes, and he managed to compress them very, very well. But with the third volume, it started going off.
And these last two installments were basically both big meetings.
Right.
For each one. But the devil's in the details, in my opinion, because there's things like, okay, he's done this whole time kind of warping with the magnetic field on Mars and whatnot to show some
where
cool
we
stuff.
Saw the Megarode in the VF4.
And, and more Riber.
Right.
Or Liber, or however Liber. You say it now.
Liber. It's officially Liber now.
Liver.
And now this time, he's playing with basically the past, managing to slot in Zero and stuff like that. And Frontier with the Vajra Queen stuff.
It could be really awesome.
It's just, I get the feeling he's getting everything together really well, but does he know where he's going overall? Does he care?
He doesn't know. He has admitted lots of times he doesn't even know how this is going
to
end up.
And he said, earlier this year when we spoke to him, that he doesn't even know
if they're going to
make
it to
episode... Well, he's like, he doesn't know if they'll make it past episode 27, because that's where I thought... Post episode 27, at the rate he was going in those first couple of volumes, get to episode 27, and then that's where you could really expand it and add stuff in. But now they're suddenly, after those first couple of volumes, have gone in all these different directions, which are meandering, and we get several panels of Kakazaki sitting on Roy's lap, But he said he doesn't know that they'll get to continue it after episode 27. In fact, at this rate, he doesn't even know if they'll make it to episode 27.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. But, like Richard said, looking at his past work, each and every one of the things that he has ever done has ended up, at least, plotless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been, for want of a better word, seriously, a mess. But I like it. I like the art style, and...
He's one of the few artists where
Adrian again is laughing, chuckling to himself.
I bought the first issue of Gundam Ace, when it came out, 2000. I was following Gundam the Origin from the beginning. And at the beginning, I thought, okay, this is going to be 7 volumes. He's going to cover everything.
Sure.
Yeah, it ended up being 23 volumes. So...
next we get Zeta.
Yeah, and then they started Zeta Define. Yeah. But that's not... that's not Yas.
No.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
not Yas.
But, yeah. So, Macross the First, when I first started reading it, I was like, okay, this is going to be 7 volumes, 8 volumes, and then it's going to be finished. So, don't listen to me. Is basically what I'm saying. I thought the same thing about Gundam the Origin. I thought the same thing about the Evangelion manga.
Yeah.
And I think volume 13 of the Evangelion manga is due out sometime late this year.
Oh, I thought the same thing about the Rebuild movies.
Right, yeah.
How late are we running on this?
Well, the Rebuild movies, they said it was only going to take a year to make all 3 of them.
Right.
Now it's 4, and it's been 5 years.
Well, shall we wrap things up? Was there anything else anyone wanted to...
Episode 11?
Do you really
want to talk about episode 11?
That's not.
Well, it's not like people haven't seen it before.
The game which I brought to play 2-player, but...
We haven't had time yet.
Adrian kind of kicked ass in the YF-21 against Kualoon Ro.
Yeah, the first opponent.
Yeah.
And then died.
And then he died.
But, yep, it's always fun on 42-inch screen.
So, did you guys have any comments on the feedback from the forums on our podcast at all?
Roy Foker, you're... I disagree with you.
Well, I thought Renato...
But he's not listening, so...
He's not listening.
Renato, I think you defined the podcast's point really well in the post you made on there, which was like, we're not all claiming to be complete experts, and there are people out there who know stuff in more depth, but... And this isn't supposed to be the be-all, end-all podcast. There have been Macross podcasts in the past. There will be some that continue in the future. But I think, the point is we're in Japan. We're in the now. There's been this boom. There is more going on in the last 5 years and going forward than there has been in a while, I think.
This is my attitude to everything that I do in my life, okay?
Oh, shit.
I don't want to do things...
All right, and we'll see you next episode.
I don't want to do things that anyone can do. I want to do things that I can do the way I do them, basically. And
that, you know, in this case, it's talking about the experiences that I've had so far, what I'm experiencing right now, and what I'm hoping to do in the future. So,
and
in terms of macros, this is the way I see it. So, like, I like to explain to other people that way.
Sorry, did you have anything?
I was gonna say, I've listened to my share of anime podcasts, Macross podcasts, and just like everybody else, when you listen to it, you sit there and go, God, this person doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. So
I don't listen to those podcasts, though.
I just go across the board and just hear what everyone has to say. And having at least a few people on and a couple other people come in here and there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't say, what, you know, like, oh, what I experienced is what happens and this is how it goes in Japan. It's more of like, well, this is the experience we had, and if you know something else better, let us know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. And there was some good feedback. I mean, I didn't realize so many people didn't listen to the first two episodes we did, and they thought that the third episode was the first one. Right. So
I had an inkling.
Well, just, we had a lot of way more feedback than I thought. And so, yeah, we'll make some changes. I'm going to do timestamps from this episode onwards, so people know
June
where to 10th. Jump in.
June 10th. It was a hot day. It rained a bit.
Oh, that's right. They wanted to put the date on these, didn't they?
Yeah.
There was a lot of good feedback on the boards. We'll be taking it on board as we go forward.
Yeah.
And so look, I think we're going to wrap it up here. There'll be other podcasts coming in the not too distant future. We've got some topics lined up for you guys. Sorry that we've ran it on this long, but this is the beginning of all the 30th anniversary events. In whenever the Valk hasn't been announced yet, when it will be in Osaka, we will go down, and I want to see it standing
you.
Up. So we're going to go down in force. The Gaijin Butai will be there,
right?
And of course, you know, post music culture, post Firebomber concert, we will be bringing you guys reports of this stuff.
We're
going to
do one before
happens.
That, though, right?
We're going
to stuff we definitely, events are our main thing, so okay. We will cover those going forward.
We're
going
to do a Macross 7 podcast with a very special guest at some point.
Right. Is he wearing his Goku costume?
Oh, I don't know.
Sure. What about a Macross 0 podcast?
Yay.
Well, I know the gauntlet's been thrown regarding a Macross 2 podcast.
Wow. Okay.
The gauntlet was thrown. And
Andrew already made a Macross 0 podcast, so we don't need to.
Yeah, we've listened to that podcast.
We could have a better guest than he could. He had me. We can have someone better.
We have you too, sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, the gauntlet's been thrown. So a Macross 2 one will happen at some point, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a Macross... I don't think a dedicated podcast should be...
Hey, Andrew had a Macross 2 podcast.
I repeat, the gauntlet's been thrown.
Right. Okay.
We'll just try to muster something up that's a little different as opposed to just doing a play-by-play of what you actually see on screen.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm for that.
Well, since, look, now we're all on the forums in some way, shape, or form, and we're now kind of the semi-official podcast of the Macross World, I'm not going to ask people for, like, you know, where, how people can get in touch with them. If anyone wants to get in touch with us, jump on the forums. We're all there. PM us. Whatever.
Again, I'm Gubaba. Gwyn is Tochiro.
Because I got
Adrian Emeraldus. Is save. Renato is Renato. And Howard is Baudi Abalfaita.
All right. And
Do that again.
I need more drinks. And on that note, we're going to sign off for now, and we'll be back in the near future.
Toys, toys, toys. I'm looking for a good time.
Oh, and if anyone didn't check it out,
no, the cast
from last
is not
time,
finished.
If anyone didn't check it out from last time, White Rose Campus, and then everyone gets raped. Great movie.
Sing again.
Yes.
Okay. Which one?
Toys, toys,
toys, toys, toys. I'm looking for a good time.
ゴールはまだ見えない。愛、覚えていますか？いや、僕、味覚えています。
また連れてって。
美味しかったわ。今スカイラークではマクロスプレゼント実施中。
美味しいびっくり箱だ。